Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. The show today, we're going to have a show on angel energy. Have you ever felt angel energy? And we're going to talk about that. My guest today is Jacqueline. She's got a... I messed up on that one. Let me rephrase. She is my guest. She is a certified holistic life coach, angel therapy practitioner, Reiki master, intuitive energy healer. She lives in northern New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Jackie. How are you?
I'm great, Danny. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I just feel like I fell on a flight of stairs trying to do a monologue. I'm working on that.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm sorry. It's just, I don't know.
We're going to work through all that today on the show. You know, let's just, you know, we're talking about angel energy, so why don't we allow that to come through and just, you know, release some of our stuff that we're carrying around. So,
I wonder if we got all the angels together, we could generate enough heat to melt all the snow on the East Coast. To me, that would be
pretty powerful, yeah.
So, I mean, I just looked outside, I was like, it's snowing again. You know, like 2 months ago, that was like a joy. But now it's, I don't know, I'm trying to keep from pulling my hair out. I guess I'm ready for warm weather. So, Jackie, with the situation of all the things that you do, I mean, the life coaching and certifications and just working with people and that kind of stuff, I guess that's the one thing you promote the most, isn't it? Angel energy?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's, I guess, you know what it is? For me, it's just a given. You know, it's kind of like, expected. So I guess, you know, we could talk about so much that we do. There's so many different layers of it. When I say the angel energy, what I really say is that I allow their energy to overshadow mine during a session, you know, because it's really important for me to make sure, you know, the ego, any judgments, any human, you know, kind of quote-unquote human traits are not present in readings. I don't want to show up that way, and it's really important, you know, to have that, you know, the energy of the angels, which is very compassionate, you know, loving, and all of that, because, as you know, Donnie, we get a lot of clients and people who come to us with real problems to them, you know, and I think we talked about relationships at one point, but, you know, that's a big one. Probably about 98% of the calls. So we need to really be in that place of letting our biases, you know, not get in the way, because we may need to bring them a message that, hey, you need to, you know, cut the cords with this person and move on. And that's a hard one to do. But I really make sure I'm conscious that, you know, I'm not showing up with any of my old stuff, because, hey, I'm still working on my things. I'm not, you know, at this point of epiphany. But so it is important. You know, I make that conscious effort. So that's just runs through the veins, you know, of what I do and everything that I do. So.
No, I was just curious because, I mean, I know a lot of times when I'm doing readings for people, and especially with the angels, they always bring up things, like I tell people stories. And the reason I tell people stories because it's like angels coming through me to get the information out in the way they can do it, through me. And I know everybody has a different way of doing those things, but that's how they work through me. And I sit there and do it, and it just seems like for some reason when people cross your path, you can really relate to some of these readings that you do for people because you've either been through it or going through it, or is there something you can really relate? And I just think it adds to helping them understand that they're not the only one going through it or been through it and that kind of thing. It kind of helps them heal a bit quicker, do you think?
Oh, of course. Of course, you know, there's no accident the kind of people that are coming to us. You know, we're learning just as much as them, you know, and that's the beauty of this work. You know, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like, okay, we're helping people and they're helping ourselves, but at the same time, yikes, we got to look at our stuff, you know, and it can be painful, but it's so much more than giving readings and information. You know, we need to always prepare ourselves, our body, you know, our energy. And I was thinking, you know, Donnie, you do so many shows, and I was thinking to myself, holy cow, you must be totally fried, because I give you a lot of credit. I don't know how I could do that. But you must be in this zone, you know, this angel zone, to really just be there and really be present. So I meant to say, you know, good for you. Good for you for taking that on.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Very dedication.
I was telling my friend, I can't even walk in the store. I said, my angels are constantly with me. It's one of those things when you are talking and teaching it, my angels say that you got to live it to be more of an example that they can see it. Because a lot of people will hear what you say, but until they see someone actually doing it. And I was in I was in Kroger's the other day, and they said, don't get the brownies. You know? Okay.
Right.
It's like, okay, no problem. I won't get the brownies. I said, well, I'm going to get the brownies anyway. I can take it one at a time. And they said, no, if you get these brownies, you're going to eat them all in one night. No, I won't. And it's like, I should have listened because I was sick the next day because I actually ate all the brownies that night. But, you know, it was one of those things of we still have free will and we can still basically do what we want. But I guarantee you, if you listen to your guidance, you will definitely keep yourself out of situations like that one. And even greater ones. We had a lady on the show here the other night. She has a show on Block Talk Radio too, and I wish I could remember the whole name of it because I just can't remember the whole thing, so I want to blotch it up. But her name was, still is. Her name is Doctor. She's a Reverend Doctor, Wendy Dearborn. I hope I'm saying that right. Anyway, she was talking about how important guidance really is, and it helps you also to own up and take 100% responsibility for your life. And she said what she had a friend of hers. And probably people have heard the story before, but she had a friend of hers that came to her, and she said she had so much respect for her because she had been in a situation where she was raped and beaten and left in a house for dead. And she said the reason she had so much respect for this woman is because she took 100% responsibility for what happened to her. But the lady told her, she said, if I would have listened to my guidance, it would have never happened. And she said, I was going into the situation, I was... And she said they were telling me the whole time. She goes, my angels and guides were sitting there going, please, you know, please don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And you know, like I said before, we have free will. So she said that. She said, no, I'm going to go in there. She said the only thing she could go back to and really put a tone on it was she let money stand in the way of listening to her guidance. And she said from that experience, she'll never do that again. She's always going to listen to her guidance because she knew it would have kept her out of that situation. And she went through a lot of therapy and a lot of stuff, and they helped her with that. And they're not going to abandon you. They're going to be, even when you make the decisions you do, they're still there to help you, nurture you, and get you through it. And they're hoping that you do learn from those lessons so they won't happen again. But if they do happen again, they're not like human beings who have a tendency to say, I have my limits, I'm done with you. Angels never do that. And that's what I do when I sit there and do my situation. And I thought it was a great story because it sets the tone for people. It's like, what are you going to put your energy into? Are you going to sit here and focus on what happened to you? Or are you going to focus on the solution and find out how you can prevent it from ever happening again?
Right.
And it was kind of a cool thing. I mean, in your workings and stuff, I'm sure you've had the same experiences and stuff like that with people kind of make you stand up and go, that's what it's all about.
Well, sure. And like you were saying before, when you tell people stories, you know, I share, you know, my experience, because I believe that, you know, no matter how many classes you take and certifications you get and all that stuff, I mean, it's all great. It is to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, those are just tools and modalities that are helping us awaken, you know, things inside that we already have, you know, because my philosophy
mm-hmm.
is like, number one, if you're drawn to this work to begin with, you've done it in past lives. So there's no,
right.
There's a reason why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, when that aha, the light bulb went on many years ago, it just seemed so easy to me in a way, like, wow, I understand this stuff, you know, where had I not opened that door, I would have been like, huh? You know, like, what the hell is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so there, it is, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it does go back to being in touch with ourselves. And like, you
yeah.
know, and the angels, again, you know, asking them, saying, you know, hey, what can I do to find out more about who I am? You know, and they may say, oh, take this class. Or take that class, but most of the time, it just helps to be, you know, find some time throughout the day and just sit with yourself, you know, get back in touch with who you
mm-hmm.
are. Just ask yourself those questions, because they'll talk through you, and you'll be able to be in a place of hearing them, because they are always around. But I do want to ask you something. That story you shared about that lady, what she had experienced.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that she went, you know, worked through it, obviously. So my
mm-hmm.
question is, and I don't know if anybody's thinking this as well, if that did not happen, I mean, do you feel that that's something that was already pre-planned? You know, because I believe that when we come here, when we incarnate,
mm-hmm.
we have lessons that we set up. I mean, big, monumental,
mm-hmm.
life-changing lessons. Do you feel that meant to happen, even though the guides were there?
Well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, no, I
know
you say it, because, I mean, we were talking about this before, we saw this yesterday, because I had a girl saying it. She was talking about sacrifice, and I said, I don't believe in sacrifice. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, I believe we make a choice, and we go down a path. And in the process of choosing that path, we give up one and what goes along with it. So if we choose not to be single anymore and we choose to be in a relationship, then we have to give up the things that we had in a single life, but actually what we're doing is we're just letting those go in favor of what's good for us. And so the situation here was, she made a choice that she thought was good for her, and I think it was a learning lesson for her too, because when I heard it, I was thinking it could have been just simply her learning to listen to herself, but
mm-hmm.
she had to go through that. And people say, well, that's kind of hard to go through that, but she still made the choice. I mean, that's the whole point, is she made the choice to make that, to go through that, and be, you know, predestined and that kind of thing. It could have been something she had from a previous life that she still had a problem listening to herself, that she came in this life to do so. Because she came out of that one pretty, I mean, it seemed like she made a vow to herself never to do that again. And I think if she wouldn't have gone through that, it would have happened sooner or later, because she had made that vow and followed through with it. So, you know, and the idea is, like you said, being predestined. We do come back here to learn lessons, and I do feel like that was one of her lessons. And now she's going on to her next one to actually see if she can actually live up to it. So that's the one that I think could be the hardest. You made the choice, you went through it, you learned the lesson, but are you going to follow through it? Because learning that kind of lesson is going to be a lifetime thing of following through and continue to follow through to see where you're going to end up at. So it was kind of, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I do believe that too, but when it came out so strongly, we were talking about, people like this word sacrifice, and sacrifice to me is so final. And
oh,
I don't believe
cool. I don't
yeah.
like it at all.
Yeah, because when you sit there and think, because I was telling this one lady, she said, and some people were sitting there going, well, you know, sometimes you have to do certain things. I'm like, okay.
Right.
You missed the first part of the show, didn't you? Because we were talking about everything's a choice, so you don't have to do anything. You do those things because it's for your good, it's for your higher good. And that's the whole thing. I was telling that too. We sort of saying, okay, you're going to sit here and you're going to take these risks, as you call them. And after you do these for a while, you're going to realize you're not taking risk. You're actually, that's the solution and that's the answer, and you're just following through for a change. And it was like, wow, okay, that was good.
I said, well, okay, it was a great thing, but, I mean, it's coming through. And it's like I tell people a lot of times, I will sit there and tell somebody, you know something, what I just told you, it was a whole lot more than me. So I know where that came from. So therefore, you should listen to it. Because it was, but, you know,
I'm pretty,
yeah.
And that's what you've heard this before, too. People say, oh, you're amazing. And because this woman asked me the other day, she goes, you keep saying we all the time. Why do you say we all the time? I'm talking about me, my angels, my guides, everybody who's with me.
Right.
We're here helping you. And she was like, oh, okay. She could. And then I heard this last, you know, a couple of years ago, who's your angels? I'm like, okay, I really don't know. I knew that there's a part in the Bible that actually talks about how you can distinguish between good and bad, demons and angels and that kind of stuff. And so it was one of those things where I always, for some reason, simply knew the positive and knew my angels were there and was just listening. Then no one ever asked me who they was, and even the angels have told me it doesn't really matter. But if you need to put a title to it, here's, call me Sally, you know, my guides, you know, something like that. And it was kind of interesting in itself, because they were saying when you put names on things, you actually have a limitation you put upon things, because people will sit there and go, you know, when you say that Sally, this is me and this is who I am, I said, no, that's what they call you. That's not who you are. Or I smoke pot. It's a part of me. I was like, no, it's just an excuse to get high. And it was
right,
just like,
right.
And people were like, do you have an answer for everything? I do now. Because I instinctively listen to everything that comes through me. And we were talking, I wasn't trying to put this lady down. And I actually work with her in the mornings. We have a show in the mornings called the Missing Spiritual Link with Courtney and Donnie. And it's on 11 o'clock on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Well, we're sitting there talking, and she says, I don't think any psychic who says they can be 100% accurate, I think there's something up with that. And I said, not really, Courtney. I mean, I think that, in a sense, I know for a fact that readings I've had, I've been 100% right with those things, but it's also one of those things my angels remind me a lot about information and how it comes through, and it's we and us. And that if you listen spontaneously to every message that comes through you and realize where it comes from and take it for the way it comes through to you, you can't be 100% right every time.
Right.
I think you can't be 100% right because you're doing readings for humans who have a tendency to go, well, since you told me to turn right, I'm going to turn left. Okay? That's what I see a lot of people doing. Or sometimes it'll take, and I'm pretty sure you've seen this too before, when you've done readings for people and you're like, I don't really want to give this person a reading because I know they're going to take the information and they're going to turn it around, throw it in the washer, twist it around, and then they're going to use it the way they think they should use it, which is their God-given right, but you're still knowing for a fact, before you do anything with this person, you know what direction they're going to head into. I mean, you've ever had that situation where you wasn't really sure you really wanted to do it because the reading actually could have... It's like knowing too much information can work against you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I try to... I'm really passionate about educating people, you know, and I guess...
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's not such a good idea when you're given a reading because they just want information. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the coaching piece of me. I really enjoy that. But one of the things I believe to be true for me is, you know, when I give a reading, you know, what's happening kind of, you know, beneath the surface is,
mm-hmm.
You know, what the way I do it is, you know, hey, I'm tapping into their energy. And, you know, time, it's like predictions. You know, sure, there are certain things that are probable, you know, that could happen, but, you know, we can't influence somebody else's free will, just like the angels, you know. Hey,
mm-hmm.
they come here, they're giving us guidance, they're nudging us, hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, hey, you know, be careful, this and that, but it's like, whatever, you know. So when somebody comes to me for a reading, number
mm-hmm.
one, they're giving me permission by calling me in the first place, so that
exactly.
allows the door to be open.
Yeah,
but, you know, then they're coming with their beliefs, their skepticism or whatever. I can certainly tell when somebody's open or not. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
interesting. Somebody had called me, like, several weeks ago, and her name was Jackie, too. So I'm like, all right, this is a sign, you know. But she challenged me. She challenged
mm-hmm.
me, and I was just like, and I said, let me try to explain to you, you know. And she really helped me, actually, after that call. I'm like, because I kept getting this nudge, like, I need to blog about this, how so people can understand what's involved. You know, you're bringing yourself, I'm bringing myself, who I'm just a messenger. And sometimes, you know what, maybe it's not in their best interest at that point in time, you know, to have that information. Because what if I said, you know what, you're going to meet Joe in a week? That may totally throw off the rest of their life, because all they're going to be focused on, when, where is he, where is he? But then they don't get work done, they're neglecting health, they're, you know, whatever. So it's not always a positive thing, you know. That's why it's so choosing words very carefully and how to communicate to people, because, you know, they may just run with that. And for me personally, I don't really want to disempower anybody. I really want to empower them, because that's what it's all about, you know, is to help them to be able to be more awakened to what's going on in their life and how they can work with, you know, their angels or guides or, like you said, whomever.
No, that's what I was saying too. I was, you know, when you were talking earlier about when you do readings for clients, and actually I've changed it now. I'm saying I'm actually more to the point of saying sessions, because I know when I do an hour session with somebody, like you said before, it's not just a psychic reading and giving questions. It turns into a learning session, or getting, like you said, giving information and tools and working with them, that kind of stuff. Or if they're having, like I've had clients coming lately where it's like, I know what I need to do to manifest things and that kind of stuff. I just need some guidance to take it, you know, baby steps and stuff like that. So that became more than just a reading. And so it was more of, I'm just saying, the angels came to me and said, you know, these are sessions. Have you ever done an hour reading? I said, no. And they said, why limit yourself? And say, okay, just put down, you know, call me for a session. This session, this session, that session, that session. Whatever you're comfortable with, get that. So I was sitting there looking at the whole thing going, okay, that sounds cool. But it was like talking with certain people, also like you saw talking about before with the reflection. I've actually done readings for those people that I knew what they were going to do with it, where it could actually work in some ways where they needed some guidance and like you said, give them some tools to empower themselves. And I've actually done readings like that. I said, okay, this is what you need to do, and we're going to work through this, and you need to work on your chakras and open up and listen to your angels and your guidance. And then the lady comes to me, and she looked at me right in the face, and she goes, but what's his name? I'm like, okay. Very selective hearing on that one. But I also saw in her what I used to be too, where I used to go get readings and stuff, and you get like 10 readings here, and you know, next thing you know, you're getting your phone bill going, oh my God, or get your credit bill. And I started thinking about what she was doing and saying that I could have got myself out of a lot of situations. So I learned something through her anyway. So I guess it was time for me to see things too and say, okay, could a reading in itself, if you're not going into it for the right reasons, actually keep something from happening or delay it? I think things still happen. I think the timing is depending on us. Because every time I've ever done a reading for some of my angel cards, the one thing that comes up the most when I sit here and when they talk about self-acceptance, and then I get the divine timing card, and I'm sort of going, that seems like it's telling me it's definitely up to them when the timing is. We're looking at 2 months now, but she could change that for the better, or she could change it for the worse, depending on what she's going to focus on the most. So that thought that was kind of interesting and stuff. And they point, and I love doing my angel readings because they give me the information, especially if I do things in person. They'll give me readings, and I'll sit there and do the session with them, and they'll give me the information, and then I'll put the cards down. And it's kind of funny how the cards back up everything I just said, and I think they did it on purpose. So the person will actually get like two opinions, and they'll think they're getting like a second opinion in the same reading. So they feel empowered by, they think they've gone to the right. I guess they'll look at the information they're getting a little bit more with more foundation, because they feel like they've gotten their money's worth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. When I do some in-person readings as well, I'll have my cards there, I'll shuffle, and then I'll start giving them a reading before I even flip them over. And then what happens when I do turn one over, it'll be like exactly what I said. So it validates, and then it also gives like some credibility, you know, to us that, hey, we're just not making this stuff up, you know. I mean, this is who we are. You know, we've trained ourselves to.
Yeah. No, I had
trained ourselves.
No, the reason I'm laughing, because I had a lady walk in my shop, okay, when I was in Colorado, and she sit there. I'm putting the cards out for her, right? And she said, are you pulling each one of those cards out just for me? I said, lady, if I could really do that, I'd be one powerful psychic in this freaking world. I'm telling you that. If I could just look at the deck and start pulling the cards out just for you. I said, no, this is what's so powerful about this is that I said, you just saw me shuffle them. And you saw me, and I let her shuffle them, I shuffle them, and we did the whole thing. And I was just like amazed how she just sat there and looked at me. And I did this once too. Well, I don't know if you ever had a reading like this. But I gave her the cards. What I did, I have a deck. I have a huge deck. I've actually taken the healing with the angels deck and the archangel deck and put them together as one deck. And it can be a little difficult to shuffle at first. And people are kind of a little intimidated by it when they first see it. But when they start seeing the cards go on the table, I do a big old pyramid with them. And this one lady described it as her life was on the table. So I thought it was kind of descriptive because it just like told a story about her. And she wouldn't tell me nothing. So I just had to do it. I just, you know, she said, does that bother you? I said, no, I always love a challenge. And I said, and my angels just started talking through me and telling me all the stuff and leading me in the right direction with her. And I finally put all the cards down there, and she just kind of looked at me, and she goes, okay, you seem to get it down, so what should I do? I'm sitting there going, okay, good. So I hit everyone on that, okay? But she was, what was so wild about it was I was telling her that she was a creative writer, and she said, I've never written a thing in my life. I said, I know. But just because you haven't doesn't mean you can't. And I said, I just kept on talking to her about, you know, I just keep picking up that's the focus point here, that you have a book, you're a creative writer. So I continued to put the cards down, and the creative writing card came out. And she finally said, okay, maybe I should think about that. So she was pretty persistent at first, but when she saw the creative writing card come out, and it was, and the place where it came at, where it was talking about, you know, her intentions of helping her and be abundant and prosperous, she started looking at it differently. And I thought that was really powerful at the same time, because at the same time she got her eureka moment, so did I. And I just started getting past the comfort zone. It was like bringing to my attention, and you probably have this too, where you're kind of having a go back and forth on the money thing. What should you charge and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like going to tell everybody, I was like, sometimes when you're focusing on balance, you have to have balance in your life. And sometimes the things that you're not thinking about could actually give that balance. It's the way they direct you to. And I mean, I was having such a hard time this last 2 weeks going, okay, you know, you're trying to say, okay, I need to charge this amount of money to get these many people. And my angels were like, no. What you're doing is you're letting money dictate your decisions. You're not sitting here saying, what are you worth? What are you worth? It's like you got 20 years doing this, you've done this, you've done that, and it's saying that you are a person of worth. When are you going to get it through your head? And they're saying, you're starting to realize what balance is. You need to start focusing on what you want to do in your life and also being compensated accordingly of what you're worth, which means you have to believe that you're worth that as well. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm starting to understand a little bit. And they said, think about it.
Right.
Charging $175 for a session from what you have to offer people and what people have told you, when are you going to start believing it? So it said when self-acceptance, you said you got the self-acceptance card like 3,000 times. When are you going to start accepting yourself? You say you have, but you haven't. And I said, So it was like a message I gave everybody else too. This last week, I've been having all these people come to me for business advice. And for some reason, what I've gone through with this eureka moment, I've passed on to them, because it's like, don't be scared to ask for what you want, because it's not quality, it's not quantity, it's quality. You're a quality. So if you ask them for $175 for a session and you do 4 sessions, it gives you freedom to work with the people who don't have that. I never even thought about it. I'm sitting there going, okay, because it was like a eureka moment that kind of like went on. Where you probably had these before, where everything fades out, and it's just you and your angels, and that's why I got the moment to do this show. Was like angel energy was just felt the room, and I'm sitting there going, okay, so therefore if that's the case, then what should I do? And it's almost like watching a Star Trek moment where they have that big old time machine thing that said a question, you know. So I was like, okay, I'm asking. They said it's about time. So, because I was sitting there struggling with a lot of things, doing this and that and the other, and kind of like winging along, and then I finally got the answer. So I started to realize,
when I sit there and told everybody you need to ask your angels for everything, for some reason I was missing the little things here and there. I mean, have you ever done that?
What's that? Missing things?
What do you mean?
Is that what you said? You asked me, have I ever done that? What do you mean, have done what? Missed things? Missed messages?
It's like the one thing that you should have asked your angels for advice about, you didn't. And then you finally got, you did a complete circle. That brought you right back to them anyway. And then you said, okay, I'm asking the question now, what should I do? Or which way I should proceed?
Right.
I've heard people say, I've heard people pray and do all kinds of stuff. Well, I've heard people do all kinds of stuff. And then they say, I finally prayed. Or I finally asked the angels. That's what I'm at. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. I think sometimes for me, I ask them stuff all the time, you know, and I think the quality and the way you communicate, you know, it's almost like, do we need to be specific or do we just assume they know what we're feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like I said about communicating, you know, words are really powerful and you know, it's the, like they say, the quality of the question is, you know, the quality of your answer. But, you know, the angels are beyond us in a whole other dimension. So sometimes I believe we need to be clear because it's not their responsibility to read between the lines, you know. You know,
yeah,
it's like when we...
That's true.
It's like, right? Like when we want to manifest something, you know, it's like, oh, well, bring me a car. Well, maybe you'll get the matchbox car in your mailbox, you know. I mean, we need to be clear. Clear about what we want.
Oh, no, I understand that one because I've done it, yeah.
But it's interesting. And, you know, the money thing is a really good point, though, Donnie, because, you know, I feel that myself, and it's like, see, I know the value of this work. I get readings myself, you know, and I pay for them. And I don't have no problem paying for them because I know for me, what I receive from them, you know, and I think when people are, it's an exchange, and I'm not saying, you know, you have to, you know, charge huge prices, but we have to realize that it is a business as well. You know, I think there's this belief sometimes that, you know, spiritual money and whatever, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, the mainstream still feels that, you know, the whole psychics are shady and, you know, they're lying or whatever. So, but I think the way around that is like, you know, hey, we can just turn to our angels and say, you know, bring me people that are willing and see the value in the service that I have. You know, we could ask them to bring us, you know, those potential clients who know, you know, what they're getting. Because it's so much more on so many levels than just giving them information. Like, this is stuff that, you know, even if they don't get everything, their subconscious absorbs it. And I said this to somebody. I said, you know, sometimes, like, I like to record my sessions because then I listen to them. But I said, listen, you know, you're going to walk away, you know, you may remember 10-15% of the conversation. And then there will be a time where you'll be doing something, and all of a sudden, that part of our conversation that you forgot about will be brought up in your awareness because now it's time for you to, you know, it's an answer that you've been looking for. Like, it's helping you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when we, sometimes I listen to some meditation and like a guided meditation right before I fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard people say that, oh, well, you know, you kind of just need to be awake and relaxed, but you know what? Your subconscious will get all of that, even if you're falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think sometimes it might not make sense, but, you know, it'll show up, and you'll be like, oh, you know what? I remember now. Like, there you go. That's the beauty of it. So that's why I'm saying on so many levels, it's there. It's within your system, but it will be presented to you at the time that you need to hear it.
Oh, yeah, because I was doing the same thing, too. With I noticed that when I was listening to audio CDs and books and stuff, I would fall asleep. But I seemed to obtain that information later on when someone asked me a question about certain things. And I recommend books and CDs and that kind of stuff, but I always tell everybody, I said, I feel like having this knowledge also gives you the capability of actually coming up with something that works for you as well. and you need the information and stuff like that. I always think that it's like your angels, the book, the information, where they lead you to go and that kind of stuff, and just take it all together. And I've come up with a lot of things that I do on my own and that kind of stuff, and I don't think I would have come up with those things without their help, but also the same thing with information and books they guided me to too as well. And I also do the same thing when I'm talking to people. I feel guided to give them information and certain kind of books and that kind of stuff, and I pass them on to them too as well. So it's like, you know, it all helps. Knowledge is knowledge, and the more knowledge that you have, the more it's able to make some really wise choices, I think. But it's just like some of these subjects you can actually go on, and some people don't realize that the ideal of living it is a whole lot different than reading it. And I've seen a lot of people read the book and say, well, a certain so-and-so said this. I said, yeah, but what did you think about it? And they're like, he said this. I said, no, I never said that. I said, what did you think and what did you feel when you sit there and do that? Because I said, I'll give you an example. I said, when I was reading Doreen Virtue's books and I was doing the chakra clearings, I definitely felt something that was working on to the point where I remember when I first started doing chakra clearings. And I've been doing readings for a long time. And I started doing chakra clearings and started noticing the clarity was like really cool. And I got these HemiSync CDs that I used to play during my readings. My reading started getting really, really accurate. And I was like, what's the difference? It was my focus and my concentration. So I was like, okay. I noticed that when you do these things and that kind of stuff, I felt a certain kind of energy. And my angels would lead me to certain things that I would feel what was going on. So I could feel the cleansings and that stuff. When I started doing chakra clearings, I actually stayed in my apartment for 3 days because my senses were so off the scale that dropping a piece of paper, I jumped, you know. And that's seriously, I was like, oh. And the first time I fasted for 5 days, I told this lady, I said, I'm not trying to sound morbid or nothing, but I said, I took a shower today, and it was the coolest thing I ever had. I felt every sensation there ever was certain things like every bead of water, the way the water was, the steam. That was, I was aware of things in the shower, in the room itself, and certain kind of energies I never noticed before. And I said, it's amazing how food and things that we take in our bodies dull our senses. Even our spiritual senses, to the point where you start looking at things differently, and you start thinking, oh my gosh, you know, everything is a choice. I could stop breathing right now. It's my choice. I just stopped eating for 5 days, and it was the coolest thing ever happened. I mean, I was looking at it as a thing, but my angels also had put me in situations before that where I wanted to fast, but I never could have the courage to do it, and I put myself in a situation where I had no business going on, so I had no food, so I didn't eat for 4 days. My angels came to me and said, this is a perfect opportunity. I said, perfect opportunity for what? To look at the positive side of just what happened to you. You've always wanted to fast, and you just did. How do you feel? Well, that was sneaky, you know. But they were right. It made me look at things and say, okay, everything's a choice, but it's also made it clear to see the positive of every little thing there was. Every situation I was ever in, there was always something positive that came out of it, no matter how bad it was. I mean, I started looking at people that came to me, like my cousin committed suicide. And I said, okay, in that situation, what was reflected through the whole thing that touched you the most? And the people could see these situations. At first, they saw them as, you know, as a through victim's eyes, and then they started seeing things as, oh, it made me aware of certain, even if it was a certain condition that he had, it brought it to the awareness of those people. So there was always something positive that came out of each and every situation. So, it just made me more eager and more excited about what I was doing. I mean, I have taken exits from this business, big business, you know, like 6 months, just take off and just said to heck with it and run away from the carnival for a while. But the one thing I always tell people that you always know what you're destined for because it always keeps coming back. Or you keep going back and doing it. So I'm just saying with the situations, even those situations, there was always something positive to be found. And I started to notice, I told a friend of mine the other day, I said, I think what's so great about living a spiritual lifestyle and listening to my angels is that when I have a situation anymore, I don't sit there and complain about it. I automatically go in to finding a solution. And I said, I've also noticed people have a tendency to get mad about that too. Wow, you just want to solve all the problems, don't you? I was like, oh, yeah, I do. You know?
So, right.
I mean, have you ever noticed that the more you do this, the more that you do have people come to you and challenge you, You just have, you find this strength to come back and be strong with yourself, of just and being, because I guess it's the idea of accepting yourself too. But
yeah,
I mean, just self acceptance.
Oh, I definitely. Oh, sorry, Donnie. Yeah, no, I definitely do, and I also find that, you know, sometimes it's not my job to convince anybody of anything, you know, and I just say, listen, I'm just sharing what I know to be true for me, you know, what my connection is like with the angels, how they speak to me, you know, the messages I receive, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we just need to meet people where they're at, you know, meet them, you know, with what we have to share. And that's the thing. I don't, if somebody challenges me or they ask me questions, that's fine. You know, I have somebody,
mm-hmm.
like I said, that caller that one time, she just kept asking all these questions, and I share with her. She's like, oh, no, I guess I was looking for something. You know, she goes, tell me about myself. I'm like, what would you like to know? You know, like, okay. You know,
yeah.
And she just thought by her just being on the phone that I was just going to go, which I couldn't
mm-hmm.
do. You know, but the point was that, you know, she was putting me in that kind of, well, I wouldn't say she was putting me in that position. She presented me with that opportunity. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, really coming from that place of just, you know, saying, hey, you know, it's your choice, you know, and that's the thing. I don't ever really feel guided to just, you know, say, you know, unless I'm passionate about it, that's one
mm-hmm.
thing, but I wouldn't push anything on anybody. So... If that makes sense, I wasn't sure what you were asking, but yeah, I don't,
mm-hmm.
I don't go there. I don't engage with people who, you know, you can tell, you know, intuitively, you know, what they're, you know, if they're challenging you or if they're really picking your brain and wanting to really understand what you know, you know, hey,
uh-huh.
what can you share with me? How, what is the best way I could do this, you know, and that kind of thing. That's different. But when
yeah.
they're coming at you from that lower energy of, you know, you just know, you just can tell. So.
Mm-hmm. I just want to remind everybody out there who's listening in that we are doing some free readings today. So if you want to call and get some questions answered, just call us at 646-721-9031. And also, if you see in the chat room, I do private readings too. So if you want to call me for a private reading, that's 937-838-6337. And if you want to get a reading or something from Jackie, what's the information for that, Jackie, so they can know how to reach you?
The best way for them would be just to go to my website, which is my name, www.JackieHahn.com, and just go to the Contact Me tab and just, you know, send me an email that way. And
mm-hmm.
email is the best way. I'm always on. I'm always connected. So.
Yeah. Also, you also got an angel. You have an angel. Oh, shoot. You have a show here on Blog Talk Radio on 7. I'm on 7.
Sundays.
And I was really going with that one, too. It was on Sundays at 6, right?
No, 10 p.m. Eastern.
10 p.m. Eastern. It's called The Angel Whisperer, right?
Right, right. And my
okay.
guest this week is Steve Frampton. He's actually a psychic medium. This will be the second time he's on the show. And also, Donnie, on Thursday evenings, I'm on The Psychic View, which is at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And that's on Thursday evenings. I'm anchoring the show this week. We have four of us all together who we rotate, taking turns doing the show.
Huh.
So my guest is going to be, she's a witch, actually, and we're going to talk about Wicca and all that kind of good stuff. So I'm actually really looking forward to that. So I think that should be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We've had John Holland on in the past, and I'm going to be interviewing Colette Baron Rabe next month, so we're trying to...
John Holland?
Yeah, John Holland was on in January, so it was great.
Yeah.
And we have all the shows archived, so if anybody ever wants to listen to them, they can check that out.
I've actually had both his books at one time. I got his Psychic Navigator book, and I used to have the other one, Born Knowing. And,
right.
Yeah, like a lot of my books, they have a tendency to go out the door with somebody. You know, I just had someone walk in the door, and I was like, I'm having this thing. I'm really working on my mediumship, but I'm not really sure what I should do. And I was like, you need this book. Check it out. I read this book, and it really opened my eyes up to a lot of things. Where I actually started working with mediums and realizing why I was getting contacts from people and passing messages on. Because that's a different situation for me. It seriously, it is. I mean, I've given messages in strange and crazy places, And it's different than, you know, people walk and come to you for readings and sessions, and they ask, and they're giving you permission to do things. But sometimes I'm guided to, I mean, to reach across a table to a woman I just met 2 minutes ago. I'm sorry, ma'am, this might sound weird, but I have a message from your grandmother, you know. And that was, seriously, that was, I was sitting there looking at this woman going, I remember the lady coming to me, and she said, you need to tell my granddaughter, I need to get a message to her. I'm like, we're in a meeting right now, and I can't do this. And she said, no, you need to tell her. And she hit me with this energy. I felt, I swear to you, I felt like she slapped me. And I said, okay. Okay.
Hey, Grandma.
Said, yeah. So I looked at the lady, and it's funny how the information came so quickly. And I've had a lot of people on the show who said, how do you pick that information up so quickly? I said, I've been doing this for a long time. So to me, it's not really surprising, but it is. You know what I mean? I still get amazed with some of the stuff that I do pick up with. That when people go, that's exactly right. I'm sitting there going, it is. And they're going, what do you say that for? Well, I'm still excited about what I do. And I feel like as long as I am continuously excited about what I do, I'll be doing it for a long time. But I sit there and looked at this lady and said, your grandma has a message for you, and your grandma is deceased, correct? And she said, yes. I said, well, she said, you need to rethink your boyfriend. And I said, and she looked at me and she goes, which grandmother? Both of them passed over. I said, it's your father's grandmother. And she goes, that's crazy. I said, why? She goes, my dad called me this morning, pretty much with the same message. We need to talk. So it's like they're hitting her from both sides and trying to get her to do something. And I was like, well, it made perfect sense to them. And, you know, I also worked for ADT for about 3 months and never knew why. I never made any sales, but I sure did a lot of readings. And actually, there was one lady I was working with, Jeannie. She'd been told her father committed suicide, and she just never believed it. And I said, and you shouldn't, because I told her the scenario, and she looked at me, and she's like, my God, that's exactly what I was told, and the way the evidence and everything's been playing itself out, that's exactly what happened. And I said, well, you're going to find someone who's going to help you with that situation, where you can bring the truth out, and that's what it needs to be happening. But it seemed like that's the only reason I feel like I was working for ADT for a while, just to connect with people and say, okay, there's some things going on, this is going on, and I was like, this is a totally different situation I've ever been in. But I do know for a fact, I was talking, listening to John Holland, I used to work at the bar, and he would do readings for people, and he would talk to people, and it was just, you know, if I wouldn't have read that book, I don't think I would have been able to handle it as much as I did. So if you ever get that book, Born Knowing, John Holland, it's a good book. Check it out.
Yeah, so, I think I have it, actually. Oh,
yeah.
I know
you're
talking to me.
What's that?
I said, I have it. I said, I didn't know if you were talking to me. I guess you're talking to the listener.
Oh.
Yeah, but all his stuff. He's got the Spirit Whisperer, the Chronicles of a Medium. I just finished the whole book. It was great. That was one of his newer ones.
His newer book? Okay. Well, I've actually been trying to check him out and, you know, just connect with people, but it seems like, I don't know, my angels keep pointing me in the direction and said, I keep getting the message, you don't know what you're on the threshold of, but you will, and you're going to wish you had slow days. It's like, okay, I remember that happening when I was in the shop, and they were saying, you have a couple slow days, you're going to love this, so take it easy, do your little thing, because in the next 3 weeks, it ain't going to be like that. And I was like, boom, you know. And it's kind of crazy when I tell people all the time, manifestation is like a more emotional vibrations, you know, like saying, okay, you want to do, I use the example of readings, guys, because if I was talking to a plumber, he'd probably say he wanted more clients to do more plumbing. So when I focus on this situation, saying readings, it's just, I would say last night or this morning, I tried to say it in a way where I was showing the angels or just showing the universe how happy I was. And I was also working on trying to raise the vibration up, too. So when I said it, and I declared what I wanted to do today, I said it with a big smile on my face and just was so happy that I was saying it. But I also said in the third person when I said, thank you. Thank you, God and angels, for the 4 readings I'm going to get I do today. Thank you for the $2,400 I'm going to earn this week. And I said, and I was sitting there, and I have a tendency to go over things too much and sometimes analyze, too. And I always try to make it in the now. But I said it, which I could, when I said it, and I was just so happy about it, I felt it like it already happened. I mean, that's why I tell people that
what, you know, I was focusing on.
Well, they
got to
believe it, too. You know, if they say it and they feel it and they believe it, then that's it. But if it's too far-fetched, then it's just not going to work.
Yeah, it's just, that's what I was saying. The angels work with you really closely with that kind of stuff, too. Because when I was sitting there doing it, they said, now keep saying it over until you're like, it's almost like you're so happy and you're almost lifting off your chair. Because the vibration of being happy is just raised up the whole thing. Because you're at that moment, you just feel like you just did 4 readings.
Huh.
And that you made $2,400. And like you said, you got to believe it. Because if you're sitting there going, I want 4 readings today, but I probably won't get them. Don't expect anything to happen, okay? But I sit there and did that. And today I've done 3 readings. And I asked for 4. I've gotten 3. And right now I'm actually expecting 2 more before I go to bed tonight. So and people go, you know, it's getting kind of late. I never let anything be a limit because I'm a night bird anyway, and my angels know that. And that's what you're saying. I think there's some things we do have to declare, and I think they get us to say those things so we can hear them for ourselves, so therefore we can believe them. But they know what's in our heart. They know what we want. And it's just the ideal. We have to still make that effort to affirm it. Because people have asked me this, and they probably ask you the same question. Can I say it to myself, or should I say it out loud? And I say, if you only knew the power of saying it out loud, not just the universe is hearing it, you're hearing it too. So you can believe it. And I guarantee you when it happens, you're not going to sit there and say anything but, what can I do next? You know. But today I was telling a friend of mine that I was doing reading for a business. I said, what you need to do when you work on your business, you also have to sit there and look at people when they walk and cross your path. It's just part of the plan. Because a lot of us get in, and psychiatrists, I've seen psychiatrists do this, where they will sit there and work with people for months just for the purpose of keeping income coming in. Even making $150 an hour, they're still scared to death that that's the last person that's going to walk through that door and the last client they're ever going to have to work with. And I don't know why we have that fear. I know we can trace it back to something in our childhood or a past life or something, but it's amazing how just those one little thoughts can keep us right there.
Right.
And how fast we can actually change it too. And
sometimes it's so ridiculous to think about it. Like, why on earth would I be? Why do I let that get in the way? You know, and
mm-hmm.
and it's amazing how, I don't mean to cut you off, but it is amazing how we continue to repeat this cycle. You know, of operating from this place of these beliefs, because I really truly believe that. You know, when you get down to the core of it, you know, whatever it is. You know, we've walked away with this belief. You know, it was interesting. I had I've been working with a coach myself. We had quite a conversation yesterday. We'll not get into it. Basically, it was about relationships, and he's like, "When was the first time you kissed somebody?" Right? Like, and I was like, "Oh, I remember. I was 15. It was like my first boyfriend." You know?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no, he goes, when was the first time? He goes, when did you get caught? And I said, I remember I was 15. I was kissing this boy in my room, and my mother walked in. I said, and she had this look of disgrace on her face.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so horrible. And I feel like that tainted, you know, but I didn't make the connection till yesterday. But I feel like that has you know, created so much of these struggles I've been working on, you know, as far as relationships, you know, this whatever. I mean, this is my stuff. But, you know, it's just interesting how that one experience that I carried with me, like I buried it, and it came out yesterday. It needed to be healed. But you just don't realize how some of the things that you experience, you know, it molds and shapes the way we think now and the way we, you know, what we have in our lives and why we continue over and over and it's the same thing and it's just like, holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
No, it is, because that's what I'm saying. Like you're talking about you having this eureka moment this week. That's what I was trying to tell everybody. I'm not bragging about what I do or what I want to do or what I want to make and that kind of stuff. I'm just saying the idea, what the angels told me about balance was, having balance in every part of your life has balance in your life completely, which means you have to sit there and ask for what you deserve so
So therefore, it balances out your life because it's so important that you're also, in the process of getting those readings and stuff, it's reinforcing to you that you can do that. Because what they said to me was, if you're going to charge $175, why are you so worried you're going to get that? Affirm it too. Like you said, that the clients who are going to pay that are going to come to you. So you're attracting that whole thing. And they were saying, she goes, I keep saying she, but it's like she said that to me, that the things that you promised that whoever crossed your path, that you would help them no matter what their financial situation was. But that doesn't mean you can't ask for the people to come to you, because you know for a fact. And this was so funny too, was that things I was worried about have happened. So I was like explaining to me what the roller coaster ride, what that really means, is that we go up and we feel great. But for some reason, little things that we haven't let go of and little things that we just keep on hanging on to bring us back down. And we go back up again when we have those eureka moments, we go back up. There's a couple more eureka moments to come and you go up and down. And he said, but when you sit there, once you start getting to the point of just basically doing these things, what you've done before, they said, like, remember when you get your shop in Colorado and you asked, you told them what you wanted to pay and you got it. Why can't you do the same thing with what you do for a living and have that confidence? And because you've had it before. A lady walked in my shop one time, I said, $25 for 15 minutes. And she's like, I think that's too much. And I said, I don't, and I'll tell you why. And they came to me and said, why can't you do that now? Don't let the ideal sitting in Ohio do that. You keep telling everybody else you can be successful. You are the root of your success. So why are you not the root of your success? You're sitting there saying, since I'm in Ohio, I can't do this. Or when I get out of Ohio, I'll do that. You're putting everything on hold when you can actually do it right this minute, right now. I'm sitting there going, I don't want to say that because I can't argue with them.
Right.
You know, they're going to, because like I always say, when you work with angels, they say it in such a way. They don't get firm with you. They just state it very clearly. And the more clear I'm saying, you know, I've been doing all kinds of work and that kind of stuff to the point where I've gotten headaches. But they always show me how to keep going and to get rid of the headaches and take care of the energy transfers and all kinds of stuff. They're always constantly helping me to do this crazy routine that I have, because they keep saying that you got all this stuff going on for a reason. So therefore, if you want to keep it going on, we'll help you, because this is exactly what's happening. So everybody said, this is great, you can do this, but I haven't been doing it by myself. My angels are with me 100%. Saying you can do this. Oh, sit down and do your meditation CD. Clear that headache. Get back on the horse. Let's go. Let's do this. Oh, we gotta go to the store. And I'm sitting there going, if it wasn't for this organization, I swear to you, if it wasn't for the organization I got working with me, which is the universe and angels and everybody, I would be sitting there going, my head would have fell off a long time ago. But it's like I also notice that the people keep crossing my path and all the stuff that I keep going through. It's like a cycle. I keep passing on to them. And it's just like a chain reaction. So I know for a fact, from everything that's going on, the angel's saying that there's definitely a big change happening. And it's a spiritual concept of people seeing things differently. And if you were to see how many people come to me this week on businesses of wanting to do what they want to do with their lives now. But what the problem is the old worldly ways are still stuck with them to the point where they keep thinking they have to have money to do it. And I think the reason they're coming to me is because my angels have always got me into situations where I got things first and then the money came in afterwards so I could keep it. To defy, now maybe we shouldn't use the word defy the human race or human, you know, being human, but to actually show you, when you say spiritual overrides everything. Divine, the most powerful thing I've ever seen in the world is what divine intervention. And when you got that kind of stuff going on, there's nothing going to stop you. And it's amazing how people are letting things stop them that they have so much control over. And most of them are Christians, and they're going, read the Bible, it says you have dominion. It's like, do you guys have any idea what dominion means? And they're going, well, it sounds good.
Okay, yeah, right.
I'll give you that. It does sound good, because it is good, because it means you are in control. Because it said Adam had dominion over the animals, plants, and life, and this planet. That means he had control over everything. Did he lose that when he left the garden? He didn't say he lost it. And I really don't think they got thrown out of the garden, because every time I've ever seen anybody do anything wrong to somebody else or do something they defied their father or something like that, they were more hard on themselves and guilt and self-pity and anything. So I think Adam and Eve, if you want to look at that kind of situation, I do believe they left because they didn't feel like they were worthy.
And if you look at everybody who's not doing what they want to do with their life, it's because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel like they're worth it. So they don't do it, or they settle. And I think it made perfect sense that we're going back into a spiritual situation that's taking us back where we started, in a sense, of spirituality, or getting back to who we are. Maybe we should say it that way. Because we had
right.
we had a show, we've been doing this thing on Atlantis, and I said, imagine Atlantis and the Garden of Eden being one and the same, and that Adam and Eve were actually survivors of Atlantis. And people were kind of, we did a show yesterday, I think it was, and I've never seen so much activity on Facebook, people telling us to come to listen to our show. I don't know what we hit, I don't know what we struck. The show was basically called Angels and Aliens. Are they one and the same? And we're trying to sit there and say, I know what angels are, but I also felt like the Romans and the Greeks and stuff looked at had aliens come visit them, and they took them as gods, and some of them took them as angels, because there were certain things in the Bible that talks about machinery and stuff, and like this one guy said, it doesn't make me not believe in God and angels, but it just makes me believe that some of the accounts in the Bible were more alien encounters because my God, my angels don't need vehicles to ride. And I said, that makes perfect sense. And actually, I was telling people about past lives I've done of being an Atlantean myself, which I feel like it was very strong. I said, how would you feel if you found out that there was colonies of Atlantis still thriving right now? How would you feel? He goes, that's impossible. I said, well, I'll go talk to somebody else then. I'm looking
yeah,
for
really.
People who are open-minded and say, you know, I'm saying, what if? And I said, I bet I could prove it to you, too. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to... The Atlantean thing has a tendency to take a life of its own. So I want to answer some people's questions before we go. And we got about an hour to go here. So I wanted to answer and take some clients.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I
took a little break and come back in 1 minute? I just need to step away. Is that okay?
No problem. I'm just going to start taking some questions and stuff. And just tell us when you're back, and we'll go from there.
Okay, cool. I'm going to jump back on in a minute. I'll be right back.
All right, no problem.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you when you get back. I'm going to take some calls, guys. So if you all want a question answered or whatever, when you come here and call and get an angel reading, just do it. Angel, the number here is 646-721-9031. All right, area code 678. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Hello. Well, that was interesting. Famous squabble. Okay, let's go on to area code 386. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, and what is your name?
Hi, this is Sheena. Calling from
Sheena.
Florida.
Where are you calling from?
Florida.
You know something? Are you close to Holly Hill?
Yes, I am.
Yes, because I used to live in Daytona Beach about a couple years ago, and I used to live in Holly Hill, and I used to live down by the library.
I remember we spoke a while back.
Yeah.
Oh, I
used to go to the park and do chin-ups. So. What's your question? I'm sorry.
If you didn't mind, I had two questions.
Sure.
The first question.
I'm sorry, sweetie. The first caller that I picked up a while ago, I must have caught him right in the middle of a family fight. All we heard was MF this and MF that, and I had to cut it off, so I was like, whoa. But I'm trying to get my composure out to that. So you go ahead and ask your question. I won't interrupt you again, I promise.
Okay. Well, my male friend that I have been spending time with for about 5 months near now, I haven't talked to him in about a week. And the last we talked, I had suggested to him that we go out and have some fun this weekend. And he said, oh, well, how about we go out of town? And I haven't heard from him in a week. I've texted him and haven't gotten any answers back. So I kind of feel like I'm fading out of the picture with him. I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. Do you see us reconnecting and possibly getting that romantic relationship going like I desire.
Sorry. I have some allergies kicking up today for some reason. So you had this situation where he suggested going out of town?
Yes.
And you didn't go? Is that how I understand it? You didn't go?
Well, it was supposed to be for this weekend, this upcoming weekend, the coming weekend for Valentine's weekend. But ever since he suggested that, I haven't heard from him in about a week.
Sorry.
I just want to tell you I'm back, Donnie,
okay. All right. Well, Jackie, we have,
I heard the question. So,
I was trying to remember. Say your name again. I just need to hear your name one more time. Sheena, right?
Sheena.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Jackie, go ahead.
No, I heard her question. So you were asking about this guy you were seeing for about 4 or 5 months, and he proposed to go away together, and you've yet to hear from him about a week now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you give him an answer, whether or not you wanted to go?
Yes, I did, and I have been I waited for a couple of days, and then today I text him and ask him if, he's still up for it. And, if not, we don't have to go. We can stay here and have a good time. And I got no response.
So you're having reservations about even going, correct?
I haven't made any reservations.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, you have some fears about going and doing this, so you need to honor those too as well. I mean, I'm just saying, I sensed it when I started talking to you that it was like the idea of, I'm not sure I even want to go, but you're also kind of fearful at the same time that you don't want to, you want to see where this relationship goes, and you don't want to do anything that might hinder that from happening. But I feel like if you don't honor your feelings and how you really feel in these situations, and not being honest with yourself, then you're not being totally honest with him. I do feel like there's other things here working with him too as well, where he's, I don't know. I keep getting this energy of player, which in some ways I understand that to a point, because you're not being totally honest with yourself. So I'm just saying, when I talk to certain people in certain situations, when they keep picking up, or they keep attracting guys who keep playing games with them, if you're not being honest with yourself, you're actually playing a game with yourself. So you're attracting that energy. So you're attracting players. And for some reason, I just get a sense of him about, there's something here that he's pushing the issue, and you feel uncomfortable. I just feel like you need to honor that feeling. And because I don't see an urgency here. That's why I keep picking up. It's almost like you feel like you need to do this. And I just, I would sit there and relax and ask yourself, do you really want to go? You're right, because you suggested that you want to stay here and you want to do things here. And I think that's what you really should do, because that's what you feel comfortable with. And I think this would actually show you what he's all about too as well. Because I'm just telling you, when I pick up on the guy, I see him going back and forth. I'm just trying to figure out what he's going back and forth with. Is it his feelings? Because I still feel like there's an ex involved, okay? So I'm just saying, with the situation of feeling uneasy and having these feelings that you're not too sure about, there's definitely something there that's making you feel that way, that you're sensing underneath the surface that you're not seeing. What do you think, Jackie?
Yeah, I was also getting there some hidden agenda with this guy, and he just, I just don't feel that he's 100% available to you right now. I do feel that he has, like, I even like to say, like a backup plan, because he's somebody who I feel is sort of insecure. I see this visual image of a guy that has you know, I get, I have to just tell you what I get, like a girl on either side of his arm. So what that symbolizes to me is that he likes the attention. So while he, I'm sure he has feelings for you, I just don't see him as marriage material. And I definitely can agree with what Donnie was saying about, you know, trusting your feelings and how you feel about it. And also, it's about being assertive. You know, it's about you stepping into your power, because I feel that you're somebody who has allowed people to take advantage of you, because you're a very kind person. You know, you're somebody who's got a very good heart. And unfortunately, people take advantage of that, you know. But what you can do is, you know, you're being guided to be stronger now, you know, and not wait around for him. You know, just say, well, here's what I would like to do. You know, like, let him, you know, be in that place of you're telling him what you want, and then now the ball's in his court. So, you know, that's what they're asking you to do eventually, is to start being more, you know, confident with who you are, you know, and more assertive in what you want, because this is about you. So that's my feeling.
Yes, and like she was saying before, it's like take back your power, because, I mean, in the ideal, the situation, I feel like you are scared that you're going to hurt him. Do you have a tendency to push things to the side sometimes with people? It doesn't matter what they're doing to you. You're not gonna do the same thing. You don't like hurting people's feelings.
Yeah, I'm like that.
Well, see, in the situation of making decisions, you still have to think about what's best for you. And, you know, the situation of, is this really good for you? I mean, the idea of waiting around, I mean, personally, I would look at this as being a little bit disrespectful, because he asked for something, and the ideal, the urgency when I feel around asking it in the first place, I just figured he would have came back and said something to you, but you haven't heard anything from him for a week. You don't really, but that's what I'm saying. You have to sit there and go, okay, if realistically, if somebody that you didn't know did this to you, you would have distanced yourself from them, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the ideal, being true to yourself, and no matter what situation it is, you have a tendency to be really stern in certain situations. You know, if you're at the bank and someone shorts you a couple of like $10 or $12, you're pretty verbal about it. Am I right?
Yes.
So I'm just saying, it's the same disrespectful thing. It's not a $10 bill, but it's definitely not acknowledging that he came off like he really wanted an answer. You gave him an answer, and I just think he's still thinking about it, and he's, I get this control issue, I really do. And I just feel like he's trying to control the situation, and I feel like it reflects back to you that you should take control of the situation, take your power back. And that's what, I think we should do that a lot, if, when we look at situations, and I think as readers, we do this all the time. We see reflections of us and everybody we see, so we're always constantly working on ourselves. I mean, it's like Oprah said, and she loved on her show because she's had so many people on there that reflect things back to her that she didn't need to go to therapy, you know. She's never had to do those things because she got it right with her show. I'm sort of going, that's kind of crazy. We do the same thing too. But if everybody did the same exact same thing, anybody who crosses your path and looked at that person and see what it reflects back to you, you'd learn a lot about yourself. So he's trying to take control here, and he's making you. I'm just saying, when I see the whole thing, it's like he's sitting there going, you know, as soon as I figure out what I want to do, then I'll resurface. And I just feel like what it reflects back to you is you need to make your decision and not rely on what he's going to do to follow through. You need to sit there and go, okay, let's look at the situation and go, you know something? This just hasn't set with me right. This is not being true to me. Okay? And I think that's what the answer to what you're really looking for. I need to make a decision here of what I really see. Because, I mean, if this...
Something in me today was just like, I'm just going to tell him I don't want to I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to go ahead and make other plans. And but then I was thinking that may, you know, like push him away a little. And, I mean, I do have a strong connection with this guy. And I've gotten, you know, we're going to develop a romantic, committed relationship. Take time, and I have to be patient. Or tell him how I feel, because I'm not sure, quite sure he knows that that's what I want.
I'm just saying, the one thing I see here the most is to honor your feelings, how you feel, what you want to do, and then come together and come. It's like coming together and looking at each other and going, "This is what I want to do," and then he tells you what he wants to do, and then you guys. Not compromise, but come to a reasonable what you both want to do. You both, I'm just saying the idea of honoring both your feelings. I'm just saying, I just feel like when you come to him and you tell him, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to stay here, and I want to do this, this, and this. I think we can really do some great things here. I just don't think he's listening. I think he has an agenda of his own. So he's gonna sit there, and I'm not saying this in any kind of disrespectful way. I just think he's waiting for you to say what you're going to do. I mean, he's going to wait for you to shut up so he can tell you what he wants to do. In that situation, he's not honoring you. He's basically waiting, okay, I've heard what you said. Now when you sit here and look at me and say, have I listened to you? He wants to look at you, so I listened to what you said, but I think we should do this. And don't be surprised if he doesn't do that. And I'm not saying the connection between the two of you is not there. I just feel like in the situation, everybody I've ever crossed paths with that I had a connection with, I learned something from them.
Right. Yeah.
I call that a divine connection, which we all have that connection. And you're looking at it being romantically as it is. So I'm just saying, I feel like in some ways, when I look at the situation of evolving, it's kind of stalling. I see what you want, and I see what you really are focusing on, what you want to do with your life and how you want to spend it with somebody. I just don't think it's going to be him. But I definitely see you're going to get those things. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And I understand that I'm going to get those things.
Yeah,
and,
you should definitely. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying romantic feelings and all the things that you want, I would definitely focus on that. But see, that's the key. The more you focus on what you want and the more he doesn't become that, that means that he's not the one.
Right.
They're guiding you in a different direction. With your feelings and how you're perceiving things, and you're starting to think, you even said to yourself, I was thinking about telling him, this is what I'm going to do. And the reason you didn't do it is because you were scared to death of what he was going to say. Or maybe he might pull away from you, because he's not pulling away from you. I don't think anybody really gets pushed away, in a sense. They have a tendency to stand back and look at it, I think. I know I have. I'm just saying with the situation you got going on here, I just keep seeing this man as a guy who is just going to... The more you give up your power, the more he takes advantage of it.
Right. The more he's getting the power instead of you. There's that. You know, when... And he's no fool. He sees this. You know, that's the... This is, I don't say the funny part of it, but, you know, he's not an idiot. This is who he is. You know, but really... Control is just a cover-up for somebody who's insecure. He really is deep down. He's insecure. But, you know, he's got this way about him that, you know, me, you know, like, I want to do what I want to do. And like Donnie was saying, you know, you're sharing and you're opening yourself, but in his mind, he's already worried about what he's going to say next. So he's not getting it. But that's who he is. And, you know, you have choices, of course. But I do feel that there's a part of you that is really, you're ready. You know, you can do this. You really can do this. This guy is, you know, everybody comes in our life for a reason. You know, reason, a season, or a lifetime. He's there for a reason. And it's just not somebody you want to continue, you know, to keep around. But at the same time, The blessing in that, and we were saying that on the show earlier, you know, there's a blessing in everything. Is he providing you this experience to stand up for yourself? because you can do it in other areas of your life, but for some reason, you know, this relationship thing is a challenge for you. So that's your opportunity. That's what he's bringing to this experience, to this relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, see, the strange thing about it is this guy, I have come in contact with him when I was twice. Well, this will be the third time, but once. The first time was when I was about, I don't know, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time is when I was like a preteen. And I can remember down to the T, I was at a skating rink. And he had a friend come over to me and tell me that he liked me. And then now here I am, 26. And he's popped back up. I don't know if he remembers me, but I remember.
So I'm trying to make sense. I sit there and look at situations like that as reminders of what you don't want. I mean, because I've had people too that can. I've had people come in my life over and over and over again, and but they never stick around. I had a best friend of mine who has a tendency to come in my life and disappear for a couple years, and she'll come back in, and then she'll disappear for again, and she'll pop back in, and I can sit here and look at saying, well, she really is deeply in love with me, and I know that for a fact. But at the same time, with her insecurity and her lack of commitment, she's just not ready for me. And that's what you got to look at the situation here. If you speak your mind, take back your power, I guarantee you're going to look at him and say, you know something? He might have been something of potential of a relationship. When you look at the situation of this person who's trying to take advantage of the situation, really, you're going to see how powerful you really are, and you're going to see that this person is still at a different level in his spirituality of not understanding that he doesn't need to manipulate people into doing what he wants. He has all the power to attract anything he wants, and he just hasn't got that part. And you are a person who has a tendency to open up and let things happen. It's just the ideal of voicing how you really feel in these situations. And I've seen people like this come in people's lives all the time, but at the same time, you have to look at what's really going on with that person. I mean, back in the day, he might have been really good for you, but there's something he's experienced. Now he's a different person. I don't know how to describe it. I'm just saying there's sometimes with situations that people do keep coming in our lives all the time. But when they come in our lives at the right time and the relationship takes off and you're on equal ground and you respect each other, that's when you look at it and go, okay, this is going to be something. But to sit there and hope for something to happen when you're already starting to get feelings that are not setting with you right, it's just telling you that in some ways of your insecurity has attracted his insecurity and brought him back in. Take a look at those other times that he came back in your life of what you were going through. If it were little bad times that were happening, more likely bad things were happening to him is what. So you guys were pulled to each other because of what was going on in your lives. He's insecure. He just deals with it differently than you do. I'm just saying, if you sit here and do like Angie, well, I got all kinds of people popping in my head today. If you do like Jackie says, and take back your power and honor your feelings, that will be the answer for you to help you understand which direction to go in with this. Instead of trying to question it, because one thing I've always told my clients, compatibility will get you in trouble, because you start looking at people and say, well, we have a lot of things in common. Oh, we got this, this, and this, and this, this, but we never stop to take a look at how we feel. And it's one of those things you should sit there and sit down and tell each other, okay, how do we feel? If it's mutual, then he'll be treating you just the way you would be treating him. And he's not doing that right now. He's not honoring you. And you're still honoring him. So see how balanced that is? So it's like, look at the situation and saying, just continue to go on with your own life and focus on taking back and quit relinquishing because you're scared that this might be the last person, because he's not. You have, and I shouldn't say this, I'm not saying it away like, you know, you're going to have all these guys banging down your door. I'm just saying, a lot of times we do that, because I know I do that we've done that with business and a lot of things I've gone through. You see someone walk at the door, and for some reason you think you're the last male on the earth, and you're never going to see anybody walk through your door again. And it's just an insecurity. And the more I started getting my power back and realizing where I had relinquished my power, which is in relationships. I mean, it's kind of funny. I've gone through some crazy stuff myself, where if I would have honored what you're going through right now, instead of letting it go any further and respected what I was feeling at the time, a lot of things wouldn't have happened afterwards, and I could have stopped it right then and there. But the ideal of focusing on that romantic picture and not really honoring it to the point of putting actually a real romantic person on the other side of that, you know? And sometimes we can get caught up in the illusion of what we want so badly that we're willing to compromise to have that person fulfill that. And then later on, when you get down the road and you've gone too far and not honored your feelings, you start seeing the person for who they really are, then you get really mad at yourself and you start feeling guilty because you didn't honor your feelings then, which would have kept you from being where you was. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. I'm just going to interrupt, and I wanted to share one bit of advice. Being that he's somebody about control, if and when you do speak with him and you say, you know, I have plans, I would be very general. I would not tell him anything you have or don't have planned, because it's none of his business, number one. And number two, that is just going to open the door in his mind to more control. So, in other words, he wants to keep you stringing along. So if you were to say, oh, I'm going to be going away, where are you going to go, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just feel that, you know, again, this is your choice, but to really be clear and just say, I'm busy, and keep it at that. Don't try not to open the door. I mean, that's your choice, but that's what I'm really feeling strongly about to guide you is just the less, the better.
Okay, so a good way to put it is, I'm busy.
Yeah, be spontaneous about it when he calls you up and say, what are you doing?
Well,
I'm busy, you gotta go.
Okay, so when do you see him contacting me? Like, should I contact him first and say, hey,
No, you shouldn't contact him first because you already contacted him. You sent him a text message. Have you got a message back?
Yeah, no, he didn't.
Well, see, you're still waiting for a message. You're trying, so don't fall in the same category as trying to manipulate an answer here. Okay, you've already sent your intentions. He hasn't answered those, so therefore, I feel like in a situation like this, and of course, the reason I say this is because I think this would be the best course of action because of the way you're looking for an answer, right? A real answer. I feel like you should wait, and he'll come through and he will sit there and say, because if he calls you up and he doesn't acknowledge the idea of him going away for the weekend, more than likely he has a different agenda. And I'm just saying, what you should do with the idea of him contacting you, I would say he's going to contact you about Thursday. That's why I got Thursday really clearly on the whole thing. But it's one of those things, too. I mean, the biggest thing you should be focusing here, it's not when he's going to contact you, when he's not going to contact you. It's the idea of focusing on you. Just focus on you and ask yourself, what do you want? That's a hard question for people. I swear, it was for me when I first started doing that. So ask yourself, what do you really want? If you come up with the conclusion that you don't want this, honor your feelings, okay? Because there's nothing wrong with you honoring your feelings. And if he still hasn't contacted you by then and you come up with the conclusion that I don't want this anymore, I think you should definitely give him an answer. But that's the whole thing. You're ending it, and you're telling that, okay, I don't feel comfortable with this anymore. And it's okay to do that. I mean, I feel like in your mind, you're thinking, I don't want to hurt his feelings. But you're not even thinking about yourself or how you feel at this minute.
It's not that I don't want to hurt his feelings. Like, he is, like, I just feel like, I don't know. I think that he thinks he's smarter than me or something.
Well, that's the whole point, sweetie. You're not. I mean, you are smarter than he is in the sense of focus on yourself. Honor your feelings, and he's not doing that. So I guess in a sense you could say that you are. If you do it. And see what happens. I always say when you go inwards, the answers are so clear. Okay, you're looking for answers on the outside, and you're not getting them. So now it's time to go inside and go, okay, just talk to me and see what me thinks. That's okay. Seriously. I would love to sit here and go on with you, but we only got like 30 minutes left in the show, and I just want to touch on everybody we got in the queue, and
And if you want to call me, like I said, until February 14th, you can contact me and get a $10 session. No problem.
Okay?
Okay. Now, I've worked with you before, so I'd be glad to sit down with you again and go over some things with you. Because it seems like you're looking for something, I guess we call them baby steps, on which way you should do, of the idea of going inwards and getting to know you again. Would you disagree with that?
I agree with it, totally.
So, when you feel comfortable and you want to do that, just give me a call. But I'm just saying, you know, as soon as you get the phone, I would definitely just, to me, I would sit down, sit in a nice comfortable chair, close your eyes, and just ask yourself, what do I want to do? Ask your angel to come in and sit with you and say, okay, I'm looking for some answers. Am I not seeing the whole picture, and help me see that? You'd be amazed what happens with that kind of experience. I promise you, okay?
Okay. Well, I'll definitely keep in contact with you.
Yes, sweetie, I wish you would. Because I'd love to sit down with you again and talk about it. Because we've talked about this a lot of things many times before, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, I definitely want you to get to the other callers. So thank you both, and have a good night.
You too. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for calling. You have a good night.
Good night.
I'm serious. Say hi to yourself, too, okay? Okay?
It's not so bad going in. It's okay. I think that's what people are afraid of, you know?
It is. You know, you didn't catch the first call I picked up, did you? I clicked on 678, and next thing you know, I heard nothing but MF this, you and this, and now they're F you. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I got
the wrong number.
Yeah. So I sit there and I'm going,
what's the message in that, Donnie? What are we supposed to get from that one?
Yeah, what's it reflecting back on us?
I don't know.
He wasn't there that one night. He wasn't there the night, what was it, a couple weeks ago when I had a bunch of people coming on a Friday night. It was like seven or eight calls. These guys started coming on the line. I don't know who they was, but they just started... They started using the N-word and all kinds of good stuff. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, what did I do to get this? What's the reflection here?
I know.
And my angels came in and said, these are people actually asking for help. They just haven't got to the point of actually verbally saying it, so they're doing it in different ways, acting it out. I said, I guess I could see that, too. But, you know, sometimes in those situations, it brings you down a notch, too. I was saying, okay, because I got kind of a little irritated with the whole thing, saying, you know, come on, man, we're doing the show for a reason. It could be just the ideal confirming it again.
I'm confirming the kind of people you don't want to work with.
Exactly. A reminder.
Yeah, once again.
And I'm just going to area code 520. 520, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Jean.
Jean? That's
yes.
My middle name. That's my middle name. They call me Jean.
Hi,
so,
Jean.
And Jackie's.
Hi, good evening. Jackie's.
I lost myself for just a minute. So, Jean?
It's okay. We're all lost. Yes?
And you have a couple questions for us?
Yes. I just want an insight from both of you about my surrounding in the workplace. It's kind of like too much negativity right now there, and I just only want to know what your insight in regards of it, and just give me some kind of suggestion or guidance that I can have.
Negative workplace.
Okay.
Good. Go ahead,
Jackie.
No, you go ahead.
Yes, here's getting for you, Jean. What's happening? You know, sometimes we see the outside circumstances, and you're noticing this, you know, so that's a good thing. But what's happening for you, because this is about you, actually, they're showing me somebody beginning to awaken spiritually. Like, you're being asked to start questioning things. You know, no longer are you going to settle for what's going on at work or even in your relationship or with friends. So, in other words, there's this world. I just see this tornado, like this whirlwind. Like, a lot of things around you are going on at the same time. And it's being stirred up. You know, things are being stirred up because they're changing. And what's being called for you personally is like the eye in the storm. You know, they're asking you to just be an observer right now because, and I'll share how to protect yourself energetically as well, but from what I'm picking up immediately is that you're growing and you're evolving and things are going to start to go in a different direction for you. So what we were saying before when we were like, okay, now I know more of what I don't want. That's what's happening here, especially in the work area. So let this play itself out if you're not certain what direction to go to. I'm not saying, you know, go quit your job, but you are being called to do something else. And it may be, I'm definitely getting a strong, like, writing or teaching. You know, I just feel like you are somebody who people will listen to. You know, you have a way of communicating to others that helps them listen. And that's something that you're very effective at. But it's more of a spiritual awakening. So you're awakening first. I feel like you are, if I had to give a percentage of it, like this isn't the first time. You know, this is something that's been going on for a few weeks now, where you're noticing some changes. Like your heightened sense of awareness has gotten more, you're more sensitive now, in other words. So what you may have been able to tolerate before, now you're just like, I just can't deal with this anymore. It's just too much. So you're becoming more sensitive because of the level of awareness that you are experiencing. I'm somebody who's very empathic as well. I pick up feelings a lot. So it's really important to find ways, you know, Donnie and I can share some tools with you to protect yourself because you really don't want to walk around taking on other people's energy and negativity. That is super important. Yeah. So did that make sense for you, Jean?
Yeah, actually, you're right, Borg, just also for confirmation about you say, yeah, it's kind of like it's been a feel this one really kind of like recently. I don't know how long, but I only feel that something is going on with me, but I cannot understand or express on it. It's like that even though it's not yet happening, I can feel it's the energy, the flowing in front of me. It's kind of like having me suffocated. I feel like suffocated. I feel like kind of like I don't know. It's like I've been swimming on the ocean that I don't know what direction is I'm going. That's what I'm feeling right now. And it's kind of like it's hard to express. I don't know. It's hard for me to express right now. And right now on my work too, that's one thing. You know, I try to control it, but I cannot control it. The one thing it's happened is if I control it, I'm the one who is the wrong.
Well, you're not supposed to control it. What you need to do now is just surrender. And by surrender, I mean you can just, you know, you could say to the angels, to your guides or whomever, and just say, I'm choosing to let this go. And it's just for the moment. It's not like I'm going to just give up control of my life. But when you get to that point, and that's why I was saying, I was seeing this whirlwind all over you, you know, just like it's going super fast. Now it's like, I'm done. I need to just let this go. Help me, you know, take some of this off of me because I'm not sure what to do. It's okay to admit that. It's okay. That's part of, like, the detoxing, you know, the cleansing process. It's to speak that. And I would highly recommend, you know, saying that out loud.
Okay.
Go ahead, Donnie. You got something to share?
Well, that's the idea. Was he was sitting and talking about a lot of things that are going on. The angels keep talking about to answer prayers, too, and a lot of things that are being reflected to her, what she should do and that kind of thing. But that one thing I got was my Archangel Michael card, which is saying, remember who you are.
Okay.
It's like, because, I mean, in the because we talk about this a lot too, where we're talking about people are getting into spirituality, when it's actually the idea of getting back. You're a spiritual being in a human body, not the other way around. You're not a human trying to be spiritual. You're a spiritual being who's trying to be to their fullest potential. In the situation, a lot of people that are around you have a tendency to, I guess you would say, stifle that. But the first thing I got with the situation that came to me very clearly when you first started talking was you can take and not take control of the situation, as in control the people in the midst of it as a physical thing, but you can actually affirm what's going to happen in the environment. I've actually seen people in certain situations or with people around they didn't like the way they were being treated and that kind of stuff. So what they would do is they would affirm, just simply say, you know, thank you, God, for having such a peaceful place to work. And then they started noticing people would either get transferred out or they would just quit, or they just wouldn't leave. They would just leave them alone. It would just stop. But the more you keep, the more you try to control the situation, as you were saying it, you're just putting more energy into it to where it can stay this way it is. The more you take out of it and start focusing on yourself, I guess in a sense of relinquishing is the idea of taking back your power and realizing that in the process of manifestations, of speaking things from your mouth and focusing on your emotions, you're not doing anything physically. Okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're letting go physically and letting what the universe was meant to do in the first place. You affirm it. They take over. You feel it. But you got to feel it first. You got to feel like, I mean, I've done this before in crazy workplaces too. I walk in happy and just constantly would just stick to that whole thing of being in that energy. And I just started noticing things would start changing in my environment because I changed me first. Seriously, I mean, I've been in certain situations where I was kind of amazed too how they happen. But one day my landlord stopped me one day and he asked me, he says, does anything bother you? And this is when I live in Colorado. I said, what do you mean, does anything bother me? He said, every day I see you go out that door, I see you do this, you just live in your life, you just with a big old smile on your face, you're happy, happy, happy. I said, yeah, what's the problem? He goes, well, do you realize you're $250 behind on the rent? I said, yes, I do. But do I have to worry about it? I said, do you want me to worry about it? Or do you want me to take that energy and get your money for you? And I said, this is how I believe. The more positive I am, the more I think I'm going to get that. And you're going to get your money quicker. And the guy kind of looked at me and said, he couldn't argue with me. Okay? He said, that sounds like a good idea. He even thought about doing it himself. and he forgot about my $250. He didn't completely forget about it. What I'm saying is, but he respected me enough. And that's the whole thing. When you start doing that, people start respecting you. And there's certain things that happen to you that they stop doing. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, actually, you enlighten me. And I think that's gonna good things to do is to make it more positive. Even how negative they are, I'll just make it a positive way, so that everything will gonna be positive, because that is the problem. Because sometimes, you know, when you're surrounded with the negativity, sometimes you've been influenced also with the negativity, because it's all, you know, it's like in the front, in the side, it's all over. And even though how much you do the positively, they're kind of putting you down more deeply for become a negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my angel says be friends. My angel says just be their friends no matter what they do. Be the loving person that you are. And they also say, Archangel Raphael is like talking about, give your cares and worries to us angels and let us take your burdens and then you just live your life. And then notice you, and then I also feel like you need to honor your physical and your emotional feelings when you're in these situations. Honor means, you know, what do you really want to feel? Ugh. What's the nature of you? What's the nature of you? And I don't know where you're at, and I don't care if you got like 10 feet of snow outside. I don't care if you got to dig a hole. You need to get outside. And I always tell people, you need to...
Go home and make an igloo.
Yeah, that's what it came to me. It says you need to go hug a tree. And they say if you got to dig a hole through a snowdrift, you need to hug a tree.
Bundle up, Beth. Bundle up, you.
Yes, but I appreciate all your help, guys, and I really appreciate it. I needed it because it's kind of like I've been lost on the realm, and I don't know where to go. I kind of finding something, this thing that I could understand, and I need to say it to somebody that somebody will understand me. And it's hard when you've been surrounded with people that don't understand what I'm feeling or what I've been going through. They will not believe from what I'm saying.
Well, then you don't have to share that with them. You know, getting around people that are supportive of you, like Johnny and I and others, you know, instead of the naysayers, because that's all just more negativity. You know, make a point to, you know, even if you're not sure where they are, you can say, hey, Angel, bring me some people who I can connect with, who understand what I'm going through on some level. Because that will really help your growth. I mean, it could be through, you know, the internet or, you know, somebody in your area. But there's, you know, the internet is a beautiful thing because there's so many of us that connect. I mean, me and Donnie live, you know, a few states away. I'm on the East Coast, so. But, you know, there's a way. There's a way to connect with people. So that'll
yes.
be really important for you. And you'll find so much about yourself because when I think about you and when I feel you, you have so much potential that you are is just ready to come out. You know, let the dust settle. You know, let this kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff sort it out. But I'm thinking they're showing me March 31st. I usually don't get dates and exact days, but April 1st, March 31st, right around there. It's just you're going to have more clarity and more certainty. You'll feel better physically. You'll feel like, I just feel like you're taking on a full-time job that's not even your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
This is not your responsibility. So, Gene,
mm-hmm.
just be an observer. And like Johnny was saying, you know, the positive. And, you know, and if they're not your friend, that's okay. You shine your light. That's what it is. You shine your light because it's very bright. And the people that can't see it, they'll just step away.
Okay.
I will. Thank
all
you
right.
very much for your enlightenment and have more blessing to you. And hopefully that
so,
I can find my peace and this spirituality will be,
you
know, beyond bloom. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Night.
Bye-bye.
Well, then, Donnie, I need to say goodnight as well.
Why?
You know, you got a few minutes left, so you can handle the guests without me, right?
I don't know, man. I don't know if I can do this.
Well, listen, I want to thank you again for having me on your show. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, no really problem. It's great having you here, as always. And then I guess I'm going to be on your show. God, it escapes me. I know it's in March.
Yeah, hold on. Let me look. We want to announce it to everybody. Hold on. I got my phone
yeah.
here. March.
Yeah,
March,
I get a good
phone. 20th.
The 20th of March, I'll be
March
on 20th. The Angel Whisperer with Jackie, and tune in for that.
Yes,
and,
come join us.
Come join us. And thank you, Jackie, again for being with us. And, you know.
My pleasure.
Here we want to drop back in and just. I don't know. Just drop back in and say hi, and it'd be nice to see you. So.
Okay, I'll be back.
It's a pleasure. Okay.
I'll be back.
All right, I'll be back.
Sorry, I think the funny angel energy is going all over me. I'm getting giggles. But anyway, listen, you have a great night, and thanks again. Okay.
Oh, no problem. You too.
Okay. Bye bye. Bye
bye. All right, that was Jackie. She has a show here on Block Talk Radio called The Angel Whisperer. So check it out. It's Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern. So let's go on to continue our phone calls and let's see what's up. Area code 407, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Michelle.
Your name is Crystal?
Michelle.
I'm sorry, what did I hear Crystal in it? Michelle,
I don't know.
You
yes.
should take this consideration of actually, I think one of your guides is named Crystal.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I really do. So therefore, for some reason, I came across very clearly. I could have sworn her Michelle first too, but Crystal came in so clearly too at the same time. So I feel like that's a definite connection with you. So
okay.
I always tell people if you want to confirm that in meditation, just ask your guide. They will tell you. They will talk to you. A lot of guides do come to you. People have guides come to them all the time. I don't know. And some people, they just, that happens. So.
What do you have?
Okay, thank you. I was just looking for an angel reading from you. This is the first time I've called in.
Mm-hmm. What would you like? I mean, is there anything you're really focusing on? Because I tell people before, I don't do general readings because I get general answers, and I don't do general answers.
Okay, I do have an actual question. It's about my parents' business. What advice can you give me for that?
Your parents' business.
Right.
Now, what's the situation you're talking about? Advice about their business. Is this for them or for you?
It's for me.
Because I feel like you're making a big decision, like, look, what do you want to do with yourself?
I need to know how to transition it out of my life.
That's what I thought. I'm done. Is it just because you want to go? Is it because you want to do something else with your life, basically?
Yes.
It's not the business itself. Ugh. If I could figure out what's kicking my freaking allergies, which, you know, it's kind of crazy right. When you sit there and go, what's wrong? You got allergies, huh? I was like, not until today.
Okay.
So I think I'm getting more allergic to Ohio. So if anybody out there is listening, he wants to send me a big check to get me to Colorado, I won't turn it down. So I was actually thinking about doing that too, having a campaign for the whole week. Get me to Colorado. For every person who donates money to the show, I'll give you 3 readings. That's how bad I want to go. Okay. The situation, the very first card that came out for the angel reading is the ideal, brilliant ideal. They're saying that, yes, your ideal is divinely guided. Please take action to bring this ideal into fruition. So you need to do that. It's like something you need to do. I mean, it's a spiritual understanding, too, of trying to find what that means. I also get a very strong impression with you about creative writing as well. I don't know. I just keep getting this. Even if it's just the idea of writing a journal, I still feel like you're a writer.
Yeah, I like writing.
Right. It's creative writing. It's also pay attention to thoughts and ideals that are coming to you as they are answers to your prayers. So basically what they're saying is, we can tell you what it is right in this minute, but things are coming to you on what you need to do, and you need to follow through with that as quick as possible. I also get, are we coming into a full moon here soon? This is the second time I've got the moon card, the moon cycle.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, see, the thing about people don't understand sometimes, and I'm not saying to everybody, I'm just saying in general, people I've come across say that they think the full moon is power, but actually it's actually in the process of going into the full moon and coming out of the full moon is where the power is at, the energy that you can actually work for manifestation, or some people call it spells and that kind of stuff. Because that's what it talks about here. It says, take notice. The moon's effects, the energy, the manifestations, and capitalize upon the cycle. And then when they say cycle, see, they're not saying the full moon. They're saying the cycle of the moon. So it's the idea of paying attention as the moon is going into full and coming out of, to sit there and really focus on what you want to happen, the outcome. Now, like I've told people before, with situations or certain things, the one thing I've been hearing a lot of is people talking about, I would start a business if I had the money. And I'm sitting there going, why do you do that? The idea of actually manifesting something is something that defies reality. Some people puts it in the category as miracles, but it's the idea that, and maybe I'm really stern about it because I've seen things in my own life happen so quickly that are the opposite. I always get the opportunities to do things and actually be put into things before the money comes to get it. But the money always seems to fall into place as soon as I get it, to keep it.
Okay.
So you see the harmony here is the idea of focusing on what you want. Really focus on what you want to do with your life, what you love to do, what you're passionate about. That's the key. Because it talks about moon cycles, and it's going to be close to that time where it's the cycle and that kind of stuff. It's also focusing on yourself as well.
All right.
I'm not done.
Okay. that was more than I had expected. Okay. All right.
I will tell you that on the set, see, I usually do pyramids, and pyramids take a very long time. They take about 45 minutes. But I'm giving you the foundation part of it, okay? And
okay.
I'm urging you to call me to get the rest of it so we can actually do a reading together. But right now until February 14th, you can actually get a full, probably more than an hour session for $10. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I'm urging you to do that. But the second, what that first part you saw there was, it's saying that by following all these things, the worst is behind you. So all they see is basically the sun opening up. It's like seeing the mountains and the sun come up. It's a new beginning. But it also, on your second level, it talks about intentions. It also shows that with the idea of creative writing, it also shows that you're also a natural counselor as well. But also focusing back on self-acceptance. Accepting who you are. Now, what that means to me is, it has nothing to do with limitations, okay? It has to do with showing you how powerful you are to accomplish just that, your goals, what you want to do, be, and have. And then retreat. Retreat means retreat from your old ways, okay? Do some chakra clearings. Open up the channels. Anybody knows about chakras? Chakras are actually energy centers that connect spiritual, the physical to the spiritual, so therefore that's where we want to be at. And then manifestation. So it's showing by having self-acceptance of who you are, retreating from the old, and then trying some different techniques to open up those energy centers, the idea of manifestation, which it seems like in some ways you have no problem doing that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it opens up the channels up for you very clearly. And now I also want to stress to everybody real quickly, whoever's in the queue, stay right there. We'll get to you, and we'll answer all your questions. So I know we only have 3 minutes left in the show, but I'm still going to continue even after the show's over to answer all your questions. So just hang in there, and we'll get to each and every one of you. Michelle?
Yes.
Like I said before, I would love to finish this with you, and if you have some time after the show's over with, I'd be glad to sit down with you. Right now, it's only $10 for an hour session, and people talk. If you ever talk to anybody who's had a reading with me, they last for more than an hour, and I usually don't ask for any more. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But I'd like to hold on. What's that?
I would like to do that.
Okay. What I recommend you to do is take my personal number, and then after the show's over with, you give me a call, and then we'll sit here and work with it then. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, the number is 937 838 6337.
Okay.
Okay, the show's over at 10, so give me about 15 minutes. I just need to take a breather and go to the bathroom, okay? And
okay.
We'll sit down, and if you like, you can go to my website and go ahead and pay your $10. So when I call you back, we can go right into the session, okay?
Oh, okay. That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay. But
okay,
the easiest way to do it is to go on the show page, and there's a link on the side where it says profile, where it has my website. You just click on that. I think it's like 2 clicks, and you go into service, and there it is right there.
Okay. Great.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll talk to you after the show, and thank you for calling. I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, so everybody out there, I want to thank everybody for being on the show, and for all the people who called in, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for all the listeners. Thank you for everybody who tuned in. Thank you, Jackie, for being here with us. Also check on that whole thing with her and everything, and her show, Angel Whisper, on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern. I've actually listened to her show. She's fantastic. She's an excellent reader, and I love listening to her show because she has some really insightful shows, so check her out. And like I always say every day and every night, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And thank you for being here. And you all have a good night. Be here tomorrow when we talk. I think we're going to be talking about water. But we're definitely going over a lot more energy and how things affect us and that kind of stuff. So tune in for that too as well. And we're going to go right back to our callers and take the last couple of calls here and answer some questions. But thank you all for being here. Thank you guys all in the chat room for being here too as well. And you guys all have a great night. Thank you. Area code 785. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Yes, my name is Hope.
Hope?
Yes.
I've been waiting for your call. I need Hope to get to Colorado.
So.
I live close. I only live 3 hours away.
Really? Where you live
no,
at?
No, I live in Kansas.
Oh, you live in Kansas, huh?
Yes.
So, you got a couch?
Yes, I do. You're more than welcome.
Okay, no problem. So, hey, Hope, you know, you got to watch that stuff, man.
I've been sitting here focusing on, I keep saying to myself today, the opportunity is going to come today so I can go to Colorado. Or I should be thinking like this, thank you for the opportunity to go to Colorado today. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, God and angels. Thank you for the opportunity to go to Colorado. Well, it should be happening in a minute now. So, Hope, do you have a couple questions for us?
Yes, the question is, I just started dating someone, and I just didn't know, you know, if you could see how it's going to work out.
Well, when I show up, he's going to be a thing of the past. No,
there we go. There we go.
So, Hope, let me ask you a question. When's your birthday?
8/22/66.
You're around the cuff, aren't you, of
yeah.
Virgo and, what is it,
Leo.
Virgo?
Yeah.
Leo, yeah. Yeah, you're right, Virgo and Leo.
Yes. Yes, the last day of being a Leo.
Yeah, it depends what book you look into these days. I've noticed, I've done a lot of study on astrology, and some books say the 21st and some books say the 22nd, so.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, so it's like, when I turn and tell people, when you're on the cuff, what that means is you have influences of both signs, and you're like 5 to 6 days in each other. So to explain,
yeah, sometimes you have a Leo who's really stubborn, but then again, they also have that Virgo too. So that was, I don't know, the ideal of being a person who's nitpicky. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I have to have everything exactly where I want it. Is that you?
Yes.
Okay. This relationship, you're talking about this guy. What's his name?
Ron.
Ron? With Ron, would you say you're actually trying to figure out what direction this is going in?
Yes. Trying to figure out which way it's going. He's a Virgo. His birthday is September 3rd.
Well, he's a September Virgo. Some ways you guys seem to be in some kind of, I don't know, the way I look at it and the way I see it, I feel like if you guys can really work on learning from what's being mirrored to each other, I feel like it would bring you closer.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, it's the idea of being on the same level. I just had this happen to me not too long ago, and it just came to me so clearly, like they're pointing it out to me and saying, there's a lot of similarities, except that I think in your situation there's a more greater, what's the word? There's a bigger chance of success here than with my situation,
okay.
Let's put it that way. Because with her situation, she was like all for it and saying, okay, yes, it's great. If we learn from the mirroring of each other, then we'll get closer. What she didn't do is she didn't open her mind up to what she was going to see. And that's the hard part. Because a lot of times when you go through these things, what happens is when you start mirroring each other, you're not going to like what you see. And you're not going to like what you feel. But it's not the ideal to kill the messenger. You see what I'm saying? It's just bringing things out about yourselves. So what I was going to do with her was, she said, help me be more spiritual and help me get closer to God. So what I was going to do was give her 100% of myself. And the reason I would do that, because most people say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, I know for a fact, by doing this work for so long, that when I would do that, I'm going to learn things about myself too. But I never got a chance to do that.
Yeah, and he's really quiet and reserved, and I'm not. I am sometimes. I didn't think of myself as being quiet, reserved, but like my coworkers and friends, they hope you are. Just because I talk all the time.
Right.
No.
That makes perfect sense.
And she said that, and they said, you know, I can see you two sitting across from the table eating supper and both of you not saying anything. And that happens. I have to think of things to say. And he answers really quick, like yes or no. So he's really quiet, or he's right to the point. He doesn't like a whole lot of chit-chat, I don't think. We've only been on about 5 days.
I know, but one thing you got to do in the situation is the ideal speaking. One thing we had this conversation about Atlantis, how they used to talk telepathically. Someone asked me a question. If that was the case, then why do we have mouths? Well, I said, if you see relationships when they first start, we talk to each other verbally, but after we're together for a period of time, we start communicating telepathically, where we always know each other's thoughts and that kind of thing. But see, the point is, in situations of that kind of thing, you have to realize that communication between the two is always going on, no matter what the mouth is not doing. But also in the same situation, if you feel like you need to express it, it's like you're learning from each other. You are who you are, but for a relationship to last, you also have to evolve, and so does a relationship. So therefore, being seclusive and doing certain things, that's great, but it's not who you are. It's the things you do. So
yeah.
What you're doing...
And I'm kind of worried about I might be too much for him, but... You know, but I don't want somebody that's overactive either, but I don't know. It's just a weird situation where he doesn't talk at all, hardly.
Maybe you do want somebody overactive. Maybe you do want somebody who's overactive to challenge you.
Maybe I do. I mean, because he's
there.
He's 6 or 7 years older than me, and he doesn't like the things I do, but I thought, well, he doesn't have a lot of drama. That's what I like. But he might not have enough.
Well, that's one of those situations too, Hope, you got to understand too, with the situation. It's great to have things in common and a lot of things are going on, but it's also the idea of asking yourself, 5 years from now, can you deal with that?
Probably not, but I'm hoping that, you know, once we get to know each other more, that he will open up more and, you know, and be more active and
I'm just saying, Hope, with the situation that we're talking about here, reflecting each other and mirroring each other, see, you're hoping that he will open up to you more. He's also open. It's like you're scared to open up sometimes because he's so quiet. You still need to be who you are. Because you got to look at this situation like this. With your friends, you talk a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can't be with somebody who's supposed to be your best friend and talk a lot, then I wouldn't go any further. But if you feel like... in your stomach, and you feel really firm about this, that you feel like things are going to evolve, as that's what I call it, not change. It's more like we evolve from where we was, and then we give up things in favor of what's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's here. And so if you have, the one thing I was talking about with my relationship, the way I brought it up for, was because I told her in the situation of relationships, a lot of people got this one thing they want to hang on to everything. Now, in the process of going from being single and being a couple, you're going to have to change, as I call it, not change, but as in the course of making that decision to be in a relationship, there are certain things that you're going to have to let go of.
Yeah.
And it's the idea of asking each other just those questions and being able to have that much confidence in a relationship in each other that it's okay to ask those questions and be yourself. And when you ask for something, you get the information, not somebody who says, I don't want to talk about it. Because when the people want to talk about it, they don't know. So therefore, they don't know. Then you have to sit there and ask yourself right then and there. He should know. Or what's the point of going on with the relationship if he doesn't know? So you ask him again that for the benefit of the relationship, you should tell us, you know, exactly what you do feel in this situation, exactly what you want in this situation. So this situation is happening right now. So if you don't know what you're going on, I'm not an autopilot. I'm actually sitting here expressing myself to you. So therefore, I don't think there's anything wrong with you doing the same thing so we can actually communicate. Because it's almost like looking at a thing and walking to Atlantean and going, and he's sitting there talking to you telepathically when you haven't learned how to do that yet.
Yeah.
You're not going to learn how to talk. You're going to go, okay, I feel like he's ignoring me. Well, he's not ignoring you. He's talking to you, but you haven't got that little bit of information on how to deal with him.
or how to communicate
yeah.
with. But once somebody puts that component in there, then you guys are all talkative mentally, like you've been doing it your whole life, but you just need that extra little component. That's what communication does for you. So you can get to that point. But if you have a person who is quiet and reserved, okay, who wants to stay
yeah.
that way, all the, who wants to use that to stay in that box and not come out, that hinders the relationship growing. And when a relationship can't grow, it's like a little child. If you don't feed a child, it dies.
Yeah,
so we're just trying
yeah,
go ahead, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, because I've talked to my friend about that. She goes, well, just give him a chance. You know, maybe he's just scared about the relationship and stuff like that. I said, but I'm constantly talking and asking questions. And I said, he barely has asked me questions. Or when he answers me, it's like, yeah, or whatever. I said, I mean, he's a really sweet guy and everything, but I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
5 years from now, am I going to be bored? And I don't want that. I want somebody that stimulates me with talking and stuff like that. So I'm kind of going along, waiting, you know, maybe
mm-hmm.
he'll open up or give him a little bit more time and maybe he'll feel comfortable enough, I mean, to talk my ear off.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying what the situation, that's what
yeah.
you have to think about. Because I always tell people, when you come to the conclusion of a situation does not fit your needs anymore, that moment that you made that conclusion, that's when it was over. And
yeah.
that's when a decision needs to be made. And that's when things have to have changed right then and there. Because, I mean, it's kind of hard to sit down and do those things sometimes, but I just did that with this girl here where I was just like, you know, you ask, it's like you're wanting to learn things in here, but you want to tell the teacher how to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm a person who expresses himself right when I'm having
yeah.
a feeling. Okay, I express everything. I'm an empath. If I didn't express myself, I'd bust, okay? So
yeah.
it's like when the
people...
Just... Go ahead, sweetie.
Oh, and that's the way I am because I'm a psychologist, too. So
mm-hmm.
I not only analyze things, I talk and express myself and want to know more. And it's just hard if I don't know somebody that doesn't want to talk. So I'm hoping he's just kind of shy and scared and...
Yeah.
And is, you know, just analyze... He's a Virgo. They're analytical. They analyze, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I
yes,
think
they do. But you know something? You got to understand one thing, too. I've studied astrology, and I think astrology is great because I think it's a blueprint to start with. But see, I also feel like we still have free will to do what we want to do. So therefore, if you're
mm-hmm.
stubborn and you don't want to be stubborn, you can change that. If you're a person
yeah.
who's exclusive and you don't want to be that way, you can change that. If you're a person if you meet somebody, this is my freaking philosophy anyway, guys, okay? And I've learned this from experience, what I've done. But I've also noticed that certain people who say, I want to find someone who's going to love me for who I am, what I have found out in those situations is that person has no intentions of changing what's going on in their life at the time, and they will be a really hard person to talk to. Do you understand what that means? That can drive
yeah,
you
I do.
Nuts. And you are, you, and
yeah.
what you do for a living, you know for a fact that you have a tendency to also attract people that way, too. You've been a natural counselor your whole life, right?
Oh, I have. And I have really good intuition toward people. Usually the first or second time that I meet them, I know what's going on. And a lot of times, even because I work with kids, a lot of times when they walk into the room, I know
mm-hmm.
what kind of day they've had or their energy. So, and that kills
That's
me.
Good. That's good. So, no, seriously. I think, because I've actually kind of like, I hate to say this, but I've actually studied the professions of psychologists and psychiatrists and psychotherapists and that kind of stuff, and a lot of them are kind of like disappointing me because they won't walk away from the book and they won't sit there and listen to how what they're picking up on with these people to get deeper to these situations. And that's just how I feel back. I've had a hard time with some people, some kind of psychologists I've actually worked with who just looked at me and said, well, you're just being childish. Okay, I know that. Why?
Yeah,
you know.
And I want to go beyond what I do. I want to do a lot of medical, physical things. I want to study. I want to go get my master's and study music therapy, voice therapy, touch therapy,
energy,
you know,
energy.
Sound therapy. You
yes,
know.
Energy.
Yeah, I want
energy,
all
energy,
of that.
Energy. No, that's great. No, go do what you, follow your heart and the whole thing. But I'm just saying, don't be surprised if you get away from the whole thing where you really can't call yourself what you call yourself now because you've evolved so much.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with the situation here with this person too, we're very strong in our professional lives and we're very strong with everything else until we come to our relationships and we have a tendency to
oh, yeah.
we can have a tendency to relinquish too much. So therefore, I'm just saying with you, the situation is, just be totally honest with yourself about this guy. If it's one of those things that you've come to some conclusions about, that you're trying to see if it's going to evolve, because your friend, she kind of freaks me out because she's a person that settles too much. So she'll deal with things like this. But the idea of if a person has fears and you don't, then you're not on the same level.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things of trusting yourself because a lot of people do. So, well, you know, you need to trust yourself too as well. Believe me, it's one of those things I work with every day too as well. It's trusting myself as much as I, much as everybody else seems to trust me as well. So having your card for the day is more like self-acceptance of how powerful you are.
Yeah. So I'm just giving him a chance. You know, I'm figuring, well, maybe he's the type of person that is really shy, but once, you know, we spend more time together, you know, he's going to have more of a conversation and stuff like that. And then my daughter, she's an empath, and she met him the other day, and she goes, Mom, I really just don't like him. He didn't even say hi to me. He just came into the kitchen, and I told him, well, go to the living room and talk to my daughter and get to know her. And, you know, and I went to the bathroom, and he stayed in the kitchen. My daughter goes, Mom, I didn't like that because he didn't even come in to try to talk to me.
He didn't say hi to her.
But he's never had kids.
Yeah,
he didn't even say hi to her.
Yeah, but I'm just saying with the situation, when I'm an empath too, and I know when people say hi to me, even if they don't say it verbally, I know when they're acknowledging themselves as saying hi and that kind of stuff, and he didn't do that with her. He's really staying self-contained.
Yeah, he is.
Almost to the point where I'm asking myself if the guy's even emotionally available.
Yeah.
Mhm.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, even though we've talked for a couple of months and went out on 5 dates, he lives 30 miles away, and we've only had a chance to go out 5 times. And he told me he loved me, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I was ready for that or not. I want that, but I don't know if I'm ready for that with him.
Well, that's one thing you got to sit there. I'm sorry. I'm just saying with the situation.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. No, I'm just saying with the situation, I pick up on him as the ideal saying, I love you. I don't really feel it.
Yeah.
I don't think you did either. I think it's why you're questioning it, because it happened so quickly that you're not comfortable giving it back because you don't love him.
No.
Yeah, it's almost like he's trying to jump the awkward part right into the relationship. But
yeah.
I'm sorry, but this is where it all happens, guys. This is where the truth, the foundation, the friendship, the whole thing, gives it the foundation to go anywhere.
Yeah.
If he's not willing to give that part of the foundation, then I just feel like if you did continue, that you would be that freaking bridge with that one strong column, and eventually you would collapse because he would be holding his part of it up. Because if you can't interact with your daughter, I mean, sure, he might be shy, but kids, how old is your daughter?
She's 17.
Sometimes she can be a little childish. I was just saying the ideal childish means to me, like, she's got that real childlike thing going on sometimes where she can actually come off like a 13-year-old.
Yeah,
when she's with her friends, she gets real giggly and laughing and, ooh. It's not a bad thing, but I'm just saying, don't take it wrong out there, guys. Yeah, I'm not saying that, but what I was going to suggest to you, because I actually have one more caller I got to take, but
if
like I said, right now, if you want to get a, because I got some extra time, I think, tonight, I have no idea what time it is. Anyway, I was going to suggest that you call and take advantage of this $10 special I got going on, where you can get a session for $10, and I wouldn't even want to do an angel card reading for it, but they take 45 minutes at least.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I'd love to do one for you because they give you a lot of insights and stuff we can really pick up with the thing. But like I said, I built a pyramid, so it takes at least 30 to 45 minutes. So if you want to take advantage of that, and we can do one tomorrow, be great. I'll give you information now, and we can schedule one for tomorrow. You call me after this. I can give you the private number. You can call me after I get off the air, and we can sit there and set a date for you and everything.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Okay. Yes. So I'll give you the number. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. 937.
Okay.
838.
Okay.
6337.
6337. Okay, great.
Okay, and call me, I would say, I'm going to take this last call in about 15 minutes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yep.
Thank you for the call, too. You have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to our last caller. Area code 520, welcome to the show. What's your name? Hold on for 1 second. Hold on for 1 second. Okay. Speaker, hello?
Hi, hello. I spoke with you a little while ago?
Yes. You're the one to pay for the reading?
I did.
Okay. Do me a favor. I got one caller I'm finishing up with right now. Give me about 5 minutes and I'll call you back, okay?
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank Bye. You. Bye-bye. Okay. Sorry, baby.
That's okay. She literally waited 15 minutes after the show to call you, didn't she? I heard her.
Yeah, she did. So, you know, that's kind of cool. But, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? What's your name? I'm sorry.
Yeah. My name is Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Chris?
Yes.
Chris? I just like the name Chris.
yeah. And my question is, I was dating somebody for quite a while, and then we broke up. I broke up with him, I should say. And then he came back around, and I stayed talking to him for a little bit, but I got a strong gut feeling that there was some addiction there and some financial issues, and he hadn't gotten rid of his other girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he kept crossing the line even as friends, so I kind of dismissed that friendship as well. And so my question to you was, was I right? Because now that I see him with this girl, it's kind of like, oh my God, did I make the right decision? Because I see them really happy, I see him very committed. Everything that I wanted is kind of what I perceive to see with him now with this girl, because they moved in right away with each other. And so it's really messing me up.
Yeah? Why is it messing you up? Because you feel like you prematurely jumped out of something when you should have gave it some time?
Yeah, like maybe I didn't give him a chance and I was being stubborn, or that I didn't give him an opportunity to prove himself.
All I was going to say was with the situation at hand, with this guy, and how long after you broke up that he actually moved in with this girl?
Well, we were together 4 years, and I broke up with him in June, and he met this girl in August, and by September-ish, she was living there.
Not too fast. Well, when I sit there and focus on the situation, just to make things clearer for you, okay, when I pick up on it, it's an illusion. See, you're just seeing the part that he presents to everybody else. And the situation, too, with the girlfriend, see, you're looking at the situation and being happy. I'm not saying they're not, and I'm not saying they are. But what comes to me is, like, it's an illusion. So it's one of those things where the things that you saw were there, maybe not in the degree that you saw them in, but you made a good choice. You really did. You made the choice what was best for you. You didn't feel good with it. And sweetie, you guys were together for 4 years. You should have already been married.
Well, that's kind of where we were supposed to get married, and he wanted me to move in. But I just had a really odd feeling about it. And I felt like he was pushing the issue more so because he had some financial issues going on.
And what did you take care of?
Well, I think if I had to take care of my financial issues, so did he.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I know that in a partnership you got to grow together and you help one another. But I didn't want to be somebody's escape and, oh, well, you have a paycheck. I don't want somebody to be with me like that. And that's how I felt. And then there's some addiction. He drinks, and then
I have a suspicion that he was doing drugs, and I have a little boy, and I just was like, oh my God, what am I going to be walking into? So we let each other go, and he did come back around, offering me the world again, willing to get rid of this girl, with the understanding that I would move right back in. But I'm at a place right now that I'm really, I mean, I'm comfortable where I'm at. You know, financially, I'm okay right now, and I don't want to go into something that's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I made the right decision, if I'm being selfish.
Right. No, you know, with the situation, like I said before, I feel like you made a good choice. That was weird. I feel like you made a heck of a choice. So, you know, don't worry about it. Oh, that's why I wish I could sneeze in. I'm just saying, when you made the choice you did and you felt uncomfortable with it, you felt uncomfortable for a reason. And I think in the idea was, what I look at it, was really good because you honored your feelings and you didn't let yourself go into a situation because you didn't want to hurt someone else's feelings. So when I look at the situation, I see it as being really good. I really do. Because it's like the situation, like I said before, and the first thing that came to me was an illusion. They might look happy on the outside, and I feel like in some ways he wanted you to move in with him because he wanted you to pay half the bills.
Yeah, he did, and I was not okay. I mean, I would have been okay if he would have...
Just because he found a girl who is not as... I don't know how you put this. I'm not trying to put the other girl down at all. I'm just trying to say that you saw and you felt and you listened to your intuition to keep yourself from going to a situation that could have turned out to be bad. I feel like you're going to hear in the next couple of months here that things with them are not as kosher as he tries to portray them to be because she went into the situation... with starry eyes. Oh, he loves me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the process of that whole thing. Oh, I guess the next step is to move together. No, it's not the next step. The next step is actually, I believe that you should, in the idea of living together, if you are engaged and you know for a fact you already have a date plan that you're getting married and you just want to start living together, that
mm-hmm.
could work. But people don't realize this, but people who live together actually have a higher rate of divorce than people who don't.
Yep. And that was my point with him, too. If you want to live with me, you can marry me.
Well, that's the whole point. Because you know what happens in a situation like that, from all the people I've worked with? When they start living together, the guy's thinking, okay, I'm off the hook. The girl's thinking, well, if we live together for a while, she'll get married. She'll get what she wants. So, see, they're both thinking what they think they're going to get, what they want, but they're not talking
mm-hmm.
to each other. They have no
mm-hmm.
idea. So, you know, with the situation, like I said before, when you have a situation where people are getting married and they've been talking to each other, they know what's going to happen. They know the outcome. But, you know, the same thing, like a friend told me one time, she said the reason her and her boyfriend decided not to have sex before they got married because she felt like the ideal of that night to leave it
uh-huh.
as a special thing to them just set the tone for their relationship and their marriage as being something special as well. But people don't do it today, so therefore when they have the honeymoon and that kind of stuff, it's just a vacation thing. It doesn't really set the tone of the specialty of the marriage itself or what it really is. So I was like, that sounds so cool. You learn
yeah,
so much from this kind of work, I swear you do. So I'm just saying,
yeah,
with you,
that's how I felt.
And I will sit here and tell you like this. The reason I feel like you made a good choice is because there's somebody else.
Okay. That will come into my life.
No, he's gonna be. No, he's gonna be on the outside, going around you. Yes, of course he's gonna be. Sometimes I get a little. Sometimes I'm a little smart ass because it's like people ask me, "Am I ever gonna find anybody?" And I go, "No."
Well, it's just that you feel like, oh my God, here I let go of this person because I want what I want, and then it's like, is somebody else gonna come and give me that opportunity to get
mm-hmm.
to know me? You know, I see him really happy, I see him committed, I see him in a relationship, and then I'm over here by myself. Well,
right.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh my God, what did I go do?
Well, exactly.
So,
what I suggest with you to do in a situation like this is take advantage of this special I got on till the 14th, which is $10 for an hour session. And
okay.
I can do a full angel reading for you, which is about...
Okay.
Seriously, they take
so
about
where do I do that, though?
What you do is you go to my go to the go to the go to oh shoot I'm trying to think go to the show page, and to the right, uh-huh. it will say profile. Underneath the profile, uh-huh. it will say www.psychic, and it's my website. You click on that, it takes you right to the website, and then I think it's another click into the services, and then you'll see, what I tell people to do is, I've changed the prices. You're going to see what the prices are going to be after February 14th, because they've already been on there. Well, so what you do is you just go and pay for it, do the donation thing. Just donate $10 to the show, and you're covered. And then I want you to do me a favor. I want you to call me in the morning so we can schedule this, but I want you to go ahead and pay for it tonight. Can you do that?
Okay. Sure.
You go ahead and pay for it, and then tomorrow I will say, when we do this, I will schedule one for you about... Well, I can't do that. I have a show at 11.
That's fine.
Yeah, call me tomorrow about 10:30. My show goes on 11, but if you call me at 10:30, we can schedule something for tomorrow, okay?
Okay, and go ahead, though, right?
What's that? I can't. For some reason, you keep phasing out. Okay, so, well, call me at, what is it? My show is from 11 to 1 o'clock, so just give me a call at in the afternoon.
Okay.
Okay? All right?
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. No, wrong one. Oh, come on. All right, guys. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you very much, and we'll see you tomorrow.